Thank you, Steve. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and Wendy. It's the Thursday version of our show. This is part one. Part two will happen later. We hope you listen to one or both parts. That'd be nice.
I think we should do it out of order one day.
You pick the day. Any day you want to do it. I would love to participate in that. It'll throw the balance of the city off a little bit. People won't know what's up. I felt like during the crosstalk there, Steve Bertrand sounded left out. You know, we're doing our annual Christmas play, and there's a read-through at noon, and Steve seemed to think that he wasn't a part of it. Without Steve Bertrand, there's no Christmas play. There's no Christmas without Steve Bertrand.
Are we going to go on strike? An actor strike?
It's nice of you to say, but as I recall, I was left out of the big table read last year, and...
But that's because the Wintrust business lunch it takes place during the table read.
Is it set in law that the table read starts at noon?
Well, that's, you know, Steve Cochran has been up very early. Right. He's got to get out of here because even the company Christmas party is kind of during our show.
Yes, it is. Yes.
So, Bertrand, you'll be able to go to that.
To the party?
Yeah.
I never leave you guys when there's a party going on.
Oh.
Are you serious?
No, not really.
I know.
But I know that there'll be a part for you. There'll be a place for you. You're not going to do a show around here without Steve.
I enjoy, you know, I enjoy it so much that I really do prefer just to listen and soak it all in.
Oh.
So it really wouldn't hurt my feelings if I was left out of that.
And that's happening on WGN next Friday, I believe.
A week from tomorrow.
Yep.
Yeah. That's when it's going to be on.
I don't like to rehearse, as you well know.
That will come as a surprise to everybody.
So will you not be attending?
No, I'm going. I'll do what's required of me. But
you prefer not to.
Well, you know me. I like to just kind of...
Wing it a little bit?
A little bit.
I enjoy these so much that every time we do these, and I think this is the fourth time we've done these, I wish so badly that this was like the golden age of radio where these things happened all day. I love
it. I know.
So if you listen next Friday, it'll be like this. Wendy will say... Oh, hello, Tiny Tim. And then Cochran will say, hello, Tiny Tim. And then Bill Leff will say, hello, Tiny Tim.
That's right. I get into it.
You
a lot.
Go into character, but you're an actor. I'm not.
Well. First, thank you. That's nice of you.
I was being gracious.
But
I'm kidding. Wow. I'm kidding. But how many movies have I been in? None. You're a great actor.
You've been in some home movies.
Not.
Although
for air.
If they get on the web.
Right.
They won't.
Right.
They've been destroyed.
You'd be ruined. But I've seen footage of like the golden age of radio where people did these regularly, and I say to myself, oh, would I have loved that. I wish so badly I was around during those days.
Don't you listen on the weekend with Carl Amari and Lisa?
Yes, I do. And I enjoy that very, very much.
They did get into it. I mean, that's where the actors began.
Right.
And I like the sound effects, quite honestly.
Yeah.
You know, somebody walks in the room and they have an old pair of shoes.
Right. It's amazing. And I always think about how at some point, I guess, I mean, people know this now, they had what they called the panic broadcast on a Halloween where Orson Welles and his troupe put on War of the Worlds, and much of the country believed it. They were listening to a radio play, but they believed that it was real. I imagine that'll happen next Friday when we do A Christmas Carol. I think a lot of people will hear it and think that it's real, and they'll panic.
Well, the Orson Welles thing was your first fake news story before fake news stories on Facebook.
Right.
Because really, you're listening to the radio, you hear that. Wouldn't you believe it?
Yeah, but it was a day and age where this type of thing was broadcast regularly. Like, it's like TV is now, where you just turn it on and you accept it. You go, oh, look, that's what's happening on a show, and you know that it's fake. So back then in the 1940s, that's what radio was doing, and yet somehow on that particular Halloween, and I still can't figure out how, like, how did they not know it wasn't real? But I guess it's the way it's presented. You've heard tapes of it, right?
Yeah, and if you just tuned in, if you weren't there from the beginning, you would be hearing about the invasion.
Right. At Grover's Mill, is that where that took place? I want to say
Orson Welles actually stole my gig.
Felicia, that's not true.
I was the one that was supposed to do the fake news story.
See, seriously, if News Radio
WGN
78...
News Time 10:14.
It's Friday Eve. If News Radio 78
got
creative...
What are we going to call this one? We're going to call this one...
I think it's just a Christmas Carol. Yeah, I know. In the past, they've been creative with the names, but we ran out of people named Carol here to salute. I guess there were two women here named Carol, and now neither of them work here anymore, so we can't name it that anymore.
There's one Carol that still works here.
There is still one Carol.
God, the first year you had mentioned something about the passing of one Carol, and now you thought the other one has been
terminated. I forgot.
Terminated.
One of the Carols does still work here. Well, they should pay tribute to her. Why don't they?
She's more behind the scenes, yet works harder than any of us.
Yes. Yes.
You're unreal.
Who can keep track? Carol's coming. Carol's going. Come on. It's Christmas.
Here we go at caroling.
I know. All right. So all that'll be broadcast. Please, everybody, don't panic. It's just a pretend radio play.
Especially
and
Steve Bertrand.
Friday.
Don't panic because I'm sure he's in it.
Right.
Got to be in it to win it.
That's what they say. All
maybe right, well, they're doing it during the biz lunch.
No. I think it's, is it at 10 o'clock?
Yeah, 10
the puck
to
drops
noon.
At 10, I believe. Oh. Right? Yeah.
10 to noon.
You said that with the panic that you might have to work next Friday.
I know. Yee. All right, a quick break and then a lot more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Can I say a quick hello to somebody, Wendy?
Sure.
Hello to Carol in sales here at WGN. Hardworking Carol. Lovely, beautiful Carol. Smells like a bouquet of roses. She sits by the salespeople.
She handles traffic, not traffic on the street, but traffic of commercials.
I also want to say hello to Carol Burnett, J. Carol Nash, and Carol Lindley. Hello, all Carols.
Carol Lindley.
Yeah. I went obscure. I went deep on it.
Didn't she change her name to Carolyn Lee or Carol Lynn Lee? I know it's Carol Lindley, but I thought there were like...
Did she? I don't know.
Much like Jim J. Bullock, yeah, who changed his name a couple times and forgot to put a vowel in his
there
first name.
There was a vowel shortage for a while in the 1980s. The kids today won't remember that, but we had to ration our vowels because of the war.
Good to know, Bill.
Donald Trump yesterday, president-elect, by the way, did you hear that? He's going to be our next president.
Is that what we're calling him?
Donald Trump, yeah, well, on air, that's what we will refer to him as. Donald Trump was named as Time Magazine's Person of the Year. Okay, and that is a huge honor, a prestigious honor. And it's really strange because Time Magazine put out a little video talking about their decision. And people always assume if you're Person of the Year, that that means because you were like the most popular, greatest thing that happened all year. But that's not the case. The people over at Time explained there were more stories devoted to him. And boy, is that true. And it was such a shocking story for many of us. That how could he not be Person of the Year? I'm not a fan of Donald Trump's at all.
But
and
you agree
you
with
me,
the decision.
Who should be the Person of the Year? It's him and no one should be in second place. That's the craziest story of the year, if not the decade, if not the century. It's Donald Trump.
I have a question for you. Wasn't Osama bin Laden Man of the Year one year? Because I know that people were like, how could that possibly be? But it was because he was taken
the
out.
The year was about... Yeah, I know Adolf Hitler was for sure.
Right.
I'm positive of that. So it would make sense. That
it's
Osama
nice when
went.
It's a good person.
Right.
I think a backup right. was Beyonce, which...
She's very talented, but...
Is she? She's beautiful.
Compared to everything that happened in and around Donald Trump, that there's never been a year where you just go overwhelmingly, you have to give it to that person. They were the person, without a doubt, the Person of the Year. Here's the problem. Here's the slight problem. If you look at the cover of Time magazine that features Donald Trump, where he is named Person of the Year, it says Person of the Year at the very top of the page, and then it says Time, the name of the magazine. And the way the M is positioned above his head, it looks like, many people say, that Time magazine has given Donald Trump devil horns. The
I think it looks more like bunny ears, if you want to be honest.
He had those before the interview. By the way, Osama bin Laden is not on the list. Rudy Giuliani got it in 2001, so he would have been the response to the September 11th attacks.
Yeah.
But there was another bad person besides Osama bin Laden.
Adolf Hitler for sure.
Right, I know that, but I mean in the last several years.
Vladimir Putin in 2007.
Right.
The protester in 2011.
Right. Was it Angela Merkel last year, Steve, I want to say?
Yeah.
Is that, yeah?
And, right, because a lot of people thought it would have been Donald Trump last year.
Yeah.
But apparently Time knew they were waiting for the bigger story.
Wait for it.
Wait for it. The Ebola fighters in 2014.
I remember that.
Yeah. Yep.
But I'm, you know, devil horns, in my experience, are more like little stubs that come out of your head. They're not really like, this is more rabbit ears to me.
It's, well, there's a couple of elements at play here. Number one is the lettering is in a very bright red. So you have that. And the way that the font is, they come to a point, like you don't see, I mean, You can see a picture. I know this is radio and you can't see it, but you can see
this picture
almost
anywhere.
Go online and
Google Person of the Year Time.
I'm almost positive Time Magazine didn't deliberately say, let's position this just this way to make it appear as though Donald Trump is the devil. Although once you hear it, you go, oh, wow, that is, they really did put the M right over his head.
Yeah, but it's a perfect way to do it, because you don't want something completely centered in a picture frame. It doesn't look as good
right.
and not as appealing to the eye.
Yeah.
So he's a little to the right of center of Time, which is their big banner.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way they did it intentionally.
I don't think so.
But it's weird that they put a little tiny mustache on him.
Yeah, the shading, all right, the way he's shaded.
I'm not kidding.
That's part two of this.
Oh, I'm sorry, really?
Yeah. There's several people who say that Time Magazine, that the name of this article on Yahoo is, did Time Magazine deliberately make Trump look like the devil and Hitler? Because the way it's shaded, not only are you getting the M, not only are you getting the M to look like devil horns above his head, but his head is tilted to the side with of course, the darker region behind him. And it does appear as though he has a Hitler mustache.
What is that little area that you're the only one who knows?
The philtrum.
Not the frenulum?
No, the philtrum is that little ingrooved area above your lip. You
okay.
have a little indentation. That's your philtrum.
So, you guys, yesterday I heard about this picture, and the account was how stately he looked, right?
Yeah.
So, when you just brought it up, I looked at it under that, you know, filter, and I'm like, yeah, he looks pretty statesmanlike there.
Yeah.
I didn't even notice the mustache until you said that. And then look at his hair. I'm doing jigsaw puzzles at home, so I'm looking at all these colors.
Yeah.
So, it looks as if he's thinning or has no hair on
right.
the back of his head.
It is not the most flattering picture of Donald Trump.
And like I said, other people said yesterday what a statesman-like picture it was.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't know if that's just a whiter gray. I see what you're saying where it looks like it's a comb over. I don't think that's a lack of hair. I think that's just a lighter color, like it's streaked.
Right. Right. Now, to Steve's point about how stately this picture of him is or is not on the cover of Time magazine, in which he is named Person of the Year, a high, high honor. His natural face position is a frown. That's just natural for him. It's the strangest thing because I don't know too many people who have that going. But just at any given moment, if you're looking at him, his mouth is turned downward. That's just the way his face is made.
I don't know if I said this to you guys, but someone pointed out during the campaign, and I think it's kind of true. Have you ever seen him laugh?
I've never seen him laugh.
He
smiles
a lot.
But I've never seen him laugh.
Maybe in a taunting way, like,
not
like
even
that.
Not even in a taunting way.
But just as getting the joke or cracking a joke.
Right.
It's not something. He smiles a lot.
How's his blood pressure? Because he seems very high strung. Seriously, the fact that he doesn't laugh.
Right.
And I know he had to get a physical, or did he not? Because he didn't have to do his tax release to everyone.
I think he did
get a physical, but
yeah.
I would expect him to have high blood pressure.
He did get a physical because his doctor went out of his way to praise the amazing shape he's
That's
in.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, I think, who knows, but from a distance, he seems incredibly self-confident and,
yes.
yep.
and assured with himself, so I wouldn't worry about his stress level too much.
Yes.
You got to smile more. That's a stress reducer.
Right.
He really doesn't.
Now, they always talk about how the 4 years, whenever you're president, those 4 years age you at an incredible rate. So aren't you interested in seeing the Donald Trump of 4 years from now? I mean, I know we're talking about him today on the cover of Time magazine, but I'm so curious to see what the 4 years do to him.
Remember how Obama got gray really quickly?
Really quickly.
What's going to happen to Donald?
I don't know.
I think he's going to be the least affected president in recent times.
Do you?
You know what? I agree with you.
I don't think he cares about stuff.
Yeah.
I agree with Bertrand on this one.
He'll look younger.
Amazing.
He's going to come out looking younger.
Isn't that crazy?
But, you know, this picture could have been better, in my opinion, because, you know, the school photographers, first of all.
Root, the photography company?
We have a different one in the suburbs. And I got to tell you, they don't do a really good job.
Yeah.
A lot of times, like, a kid's hair is sticking funny one way. I mean, you'd think they're.
Yeah, well, you take 600 kids' pictures in 2 hours.
Well, that's their job. Yeah. And you know, they put you in these poses where tilt your head a little bit,
lean forward,
let me get a sign. I hate that.
Yeah.
And to me, it has him leaning over and scowling and looking like, get off my lawn. To me, a confident presidential picture of Donald Trump would be him opening his chest wide, you know, standing up straight and kind of commanding the scene.
Yeah.
This is like he's hunched over. I don't think it's a great picture.
But it does look presidential.
I guess,
like, if it were anyone else, you go, oh, yeah, that's the president. Look at the way he's sitting. That's the way a president sits, you know?
I just want to take scissors. Do you think he'd trust me to just a little trim?
A little spruce up on the hair, maybe.
Just
to see what you could do? A little mousse?
Just something.
Yeah.
Again, I saw a picture of him with his hair blowing back, and it's not like he needs the Dick Van Patten comb over. He didn't look bad. It's just you gotta get rid of bangs when you hit a certain age. That's all I'm saying.
Quick, list all the presidents who have had bangs. It's a short list.
I got none.
There aren't any. All right, we need to take a break. We've got news coming your way next. And then one of Chicago's favorite actors, Dave Pasquese, joins us. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Steve, thanks very much. Dave Pasquese is here. He is one of Chicago, if not Illinois', greatest actors. And Dave, you said you would come on our show under one condition. Can you tell Wendy what that condition was?
That condition was that I have no contact or communication with Bill Leff. And that's been breached.
It has been breached immediately. But can I tell you, we listeners, you missed some really quality material of these two going back and forth with each other off the air. It's like just watching a tornado of funny stuff going on.
Well, Dave has, and you know how much I respect you. You know, I want to preface this by saying...
Yeah, I think I do, which isn't a lot.
I don't have a lot
of
respect for you,
but I know exactly how much.
I have some respect for you. But you have some quirky rules that I don't understand.
Well, there was a moment, if I may just explain, when Dave walked in, I've realized I've never met you after all these years. Mm-hmm. Definitely familiar with you.
Yeah,
I've seen you everywhere.
Screen.
I feel like I know you. You as well.
Yeah.
So you walked in. Bill says hello to you, breaching the contract immediately.
Immediately.
Yes.
And says, you look nice. And I saw Dave look you up and down, and he could not return the compliment.
That was so hurtful. Did you see how hurt
I was? It was kind of obvious.
It seemed like you didn't want that. You didn't want...
I did want that.
No, you did. You didn't. It seemed like that would have just been in response to what you said, and I think you wanted more than that.
No, you don't need to reciprocate. You're wearing a great shirt. I don't know where you got that shirt, but I would pay for that shirt. Seriously, I'd pay $350 just for the shirt.
I have some shirts for you then.
Do you?
Yeah.
All right. The shirt's nice. The pants only complement the shirt, and then you've got this coat on. You look like you just stepped off a magazine cover. So when I see a guy dressed like that, I'm going to say something.
What magazine?
Dave Pasquese magazine.
Yeah, used clothes magazine.
Maybe, I don't know.
Bill whipped out his good pair of acid wash jeans for today.
Yeah, so I appreciate
I did that
it.
For you.
Yeah, I did say you are dressed. You are
That's
absolutely.
Not a compliment.
Yeah, it is.
That's
well, it's a statement of fact.
So then Wendy points out that I many times will wear shorts. Not today because it's cold, but you seemed aghast by it. You were furious to hear that. Right? You were.
Well, he said, Dave goes, to work?
To work. That's what you said.
Short pants.
You call them short pants.
Short pants
not
to work.
Shorts. All right.
Sure, he wears short pants to work.
But now explain your rule if you're on an airplane.
If I'm on an airplane and an adult male is wearing shorts, I will mention to him that that is inappropriate.
And how does that go over?
Usually well for me. And sometimes, here's what I view it as, that, yeah. that this man should know. If he doesn't know that that's inappropriate, he should learn. And if he does know it's inappropriate, he's ready to be called out on it.
Really?
All Have right. you been punched?
Never been punched. Never been punched. Although, one thing I have to say that it's going through my mind all the time when I confront people on the one side of the TSA security line, I know they don't have guns.
So I'm a little after.
Yeah, I'm a little braver once they've been screened.
That makes sense.
Does it bother you when people take their shoes off in advance of the security line and walk around barefoot in, like, do you have to have a sock layer in between the airport floor and their feet?
I'm actually okay with that. I wish that people would take off more. For that, I wish they wouldn't stop at the belts and shoes.
How
I
far
wish
would you like them to
all
go?
The way?
And take
all
off
way.
All your
or
clothes,
or at least underwear, just straight to underwear.
Yeah.
Then they know. Then they know every. There you go. Take a look. There you go. Is this what you're looking for?
I'm not packing.
All right.
Well, who knows? Maybe in some cases, right? I like. Have you submitted
a snub
this
nose.
Idea? Right. You should go to O'Hare and say, here's an idea. This is just my thoughts, but try this for a while and see what people think. Have you submitted these ideas?
No. Here's what I want to do it. And just keep going. Just start taking off my belts, then my pants, then my shoes, then my pants.
Right.
And
There's
then my
no rule.
Shorts.
You would take those off.
Yeah, he doesn't wear them to airports, remember? Maybe his boxer shorts.
Right.
You could just explain, oh, TSA. I thought it was TNA.
Oh, yeah, right.
You
yeah,
could do
right.
that.
Oh, just a misunderstanding. Officers.
It doesn't say in the rules how much you can or cannot take off.
It does. Yeah, you have to take off some.
Right.
Right. But it doesn't. There's no maximum. Yeah.
It's up to you. Whatever you're comfortable with. I what? Like it.
I just heard somebody doing a bong.
Oh, great.
I really great, heard that little bubbling going on. I don't know.
That's
I'm sorry.
That's the way Dave laughs.
Have at
Gee,
it.
Steve Bertrand up in the newsroom preparing for his next report.
I apologize.
It's right. going to be a real mellow report. And the farm report coming in.
Now, what are you doing in town? Why are you visiting us? And thank you for that.
I still live here. We just were doing shows with TJ. I was with TJ Jagodowski in New York City doing some shows there. Got back yesterday or the day before. Did a show here last night. Last week, I was also out in Los Angeles working on that Veep program.
Where you play the husband, the ex-husband of the President of the United States, Julie Louis-Dreyfus.
Correct. Yeah.
Is this still fun to do? Because I've already told you this. And again, it's a situation where I throw a compliment your way. I say, you're doing great on Veep. And then I go into detail. And then you just look at me and go,
you're not even supposed to be talking to me. I was real clear.
Right, you were. No, to be fair, you were. In writing. You put it in writing that I'm not allowed to interact
and I signed
with
it,
Dave.
And I signed it sincerely.
I know, I saw that.
Sincerely. I mean it.
No,
sincerely.
I get it. All right.
This Veep show you speak of, I have to admit I'm late to the party, but thank God for Netflix and Hulu and all these things, and it's really funny. I'm so late to the party.
I understand. I'm that way in a lot of shows, too, but like you, when we were growing up, you had to watch it the first time or wait 100 years for it to come out in syndication.
Those were your alternatives.
Yeah, it's just great. I do appreciate that. Lazy people like me can also watch TV.
He wanted to direct that towards me, did
no.
you see? But he didn't
no.
know how to do it. See, I'm okay with that. I'm just busy.
No,
there's
not,
a difference.
There's a difference. Right. For you, it's busy. For me, I'm unmotivated.
It may be the best ensemble cast on television right now. If it's not the best, it's in the top two or three. And a lot of those cast members are Chicago-based people.
Yep. And almost all of them have had something to do with Chicago, right?
Yeah.
Yep. I agree. It's pretty fun to be hanging around with those idiots.
Now, they still call it Veep, although she isn't the Veep anymore.
Nope.
She is the president.
She was the president.
Spoiler alert, I just started binging.
Oh.
And I'm watching the show.
She's divorced.
Yeah.
That's.
I'm not allowed to talk about I Dream of Jeannie. Wendy hasn't seen all those. I have to be very careful. Anytime Major Nelson's name comes up, I got to be very careful. Dave Pasquazi is here. Wendy's allowed to ask him questions. I'm not.
Will you write a few down?
Can I submit them to Wendy? And she
as
can
long
ask
as me? I don't see that happening.
All right.
All right, that's fair. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy along with Dave Pasquazi on WGN. David Pasquazi is here. Great actor, great improviser, writer, producer. I probably should have said great before those two, but
no,
I chose not to.
Yeah, I appreciate
I was being,
it.
You know. Yeah. Usually when Wendy and I have guests on, they're on to promote something. Not you, not today. You're around, so you came in.
Yeah.
You've already done your stuff because it's like, what are you up to? Well, last week I was in New York.
Yeah.
Nothing going on now?
Nothing going on now. No. I got I was supposed to come into today to talk on the radio with these guys.
With us?
That's no, well, actually, just not with, yeah, with you, Wendy. Oh.
Thank you, Dave.
And Kevin was
producer.
real clear about how this was supposed
to
go.
He reminded me right before you walked in, actually. Mm-hmm. He said, Mr. Pasquazi asked that you not address
And so
them.
You immediately, knowing that, it wasn't out of ignorance, you
no,
deliberately
I know.
Broke a contract.
That's how he rolls.
Yeah, I'm a rebel.
It's nice to see you.
Thank you. Nice to see you.
I don't care to talk to you, but
no,
it's nice to see you.
No, it's great. It's good to
now,
be
how
seen.
Did you guys meet?
Wow.
Girl Scouts?
Probably a campfire.
Yeah, we were campfire girls together.
You've known each other quite a long time, haven't you?
We used to audition against each other quite often.
And then rumble.
And then we would fight.
Da-da-da-da-da.
Right. It was a musical rumble. It was always...
Fake knives.
Yeah,
they were really just those switchblade combs.
Right.
Through Leo, right?
Yeah, our friend Leo Benvenuti, who's a writer. Yeah, I think he was the one who first introduced us. And still today, the three of us will get together and have an incredible ping pong tournament.
Well, incredible, yes. I will be beaten silly.
Are you into ping pong too? I mean, like, I will play. Everyone can play. But he is like Ricochet Rabbit when he's playing.
He's real good.
I may go pro. I'm still thinking about going pro.
It's not too late. It's not too late.
Do it now, right?
You're going to be whatever age anyway. I remember this friend of mine was going to medical school, and somebody told her, hey, you're going to be 35 by the time you get out of medical school. And her point was, I'm going to be 35 anyway.
That's a good answer.
That's very true. I know you have worked with a lot of great actors over the years, but do me a favor. You worked with
my favorite, Bill Leff.
Thank you. You worked with Tom Hanks in Angels and Demons.
Right.
Was that as great as it should have been?
Oh, yeah.
I hope it was.
Just wonderful. It was really a blast. And he's contrary to popular opinion, he's a very nice man.
No, everybody says that about
him.
Yeah. You know that.
Oh, then
everybody says that about him.
Then just like popular opinion. He's a very nice man. Yeah, he's really a great guy. And that Ron Howard, it was really fun. And we got to go work in Rome and stuff. That was a blast.
God, Ron Howard, you get to work with Opie.
Yeah, it was real.
Did you think of him as Opie?
No,
not once.
No. Yes, once.
Okay.
Sure, of course.
What made you think of him as Opie?
Just thinking, hey, that's Ron Howard.
Right.
I've known him since, or I've known of him.
But you can't bring that up to him. You can't say.
I wouldn't.
No.
Like one of the only ones, one of the only child actors that has been really good ever since. A lot of them are great as child actors, and then they're not.
Fall into some bad spiral or something.
Although you're working with one on Veep right now.
Who's that?
Think about it.
Anna?
Anna Chlumsky was a really good child actress.
That's right.
She's
My girl?
Well.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. Yeah. Yeah, she's great.
Yeah. So there's two.
Okay.
All right. You're not supposed to be talking to him.
I'm sorry.
You didn't slip me any notes under the console either.
I'm still writing them out.
Big Christmas plans? Do you love Christmas?
I like seeing my family. Mm-hmm. I get along. We got a weird family. We like each other. And so that's always fun. My one brother lives in California. My other brother's here, and we get together and have a good time.
And that's fun.
That is fun.
It is fun. Look forward to that.
Yep. And my one son who lives in San Francisco will be coming home, and always good to see him.
Big tsunami just off the coast of San Francisco. Earthquake. Earthquake in the water. Ferndale out. It was out in the
Eureka.
Yes. 6.2. And they have not issued a tsunami warning. But
6.2, that's a real one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
We're here to, keep you posted of news events and everything.
Right.
Well, do some texting right now.
And you
heard
what
happened
with your aunt. You hear about that, right?
Oh, my goodness.
The big fire at your aunt's house.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
no.
That happened earlier.
Why would they tell you and not? Oh, man.
I don't know. Kevin said I'm not supposed to tell you these things, but then it turns out you need to know these things.
Okay, in instances of personal safety. Okay.
Your aunt is fine, but I guess some of her dishware was burned.
That's
okay.
That's okay.
You can replace
her Corningware.
Yeah.
Gone.
Yeah. her Tefal, I guess they said what in the report.
That? Oh,
some kind of high end pots and pans.
It's not that high
end. Is that still around? Which I know the reference.
I don't know.
That's pretty good.
Thank you. Thank you.
Why do you pull that out?
I do pots and pans humor. No one else is doing that.
That's from a while ago. That's like Tefal from that was a instead of Teflon in the 70s.
Yeah. Do you remember Melmac? Did you have anything made of Melmac when you were a kid? Do you remember Melmac?
I don't know it.
Isn't he a rapper?
If he is, and he should be, that's the perfect name for a rapper.
What is Melmac?
That terrible booze that people drink?
No.
I grew up
with
that.
That's Malort.
Bill. It's like a fake plastic, a hard plastic.
Yeah, Steve's describing it. It's exactly what Steve described. And there was a time in the 60s where you could buy anything made out of Melmac. You could get a lamp and a dinnerware made out of Melmac. And then on Alf, that was the world he was from. They named it Melmac that stuff. You're welcome.
You, I'm telling you, man. Why do we even have David Pasquazi in here? I could just interview you.
Certainly not to sell anything.
Right. This should be a trend on talk shows. Everybody comes in and they've got a website or a book they want to push.
I got a book. Buy our book.
Do you have? You don't even have a
TJ
book.
TJ and I wrote a book.
Did you? No, I didn't know that.
About improvisation.
What's the book called?
Boy, I thought you were friends.
Improvisation at the Speed of Life. Yeah, all my friends bought it.
You could give me one.
All my friends bought it. Did you not hear?
So talk to me about this. Improv, someone who's beginning in improv, just the whole history of it?
No, it's just how we do our show, and it's just how we look at improvisation. It's a little different than maybe what a lot of people think of improvisation.
If I could do things all over again, I would have gone to Second City and taken classes. All the kids in the high school now have, my son just tried this improv club that he did for the first time. And he had fun with it. He wasn't as good as the other kids that had been doing it all 4 years. But it's really cool to see these high schools giving you a little taste of it.
Yep.
It helps you in all aspects of life.
I agree. I'd never been on any kind of stage until I was, in my late 20s.
That's when you started. You didn't do any plays in grade school or high school?
No.
Really?
How about that? Mm-hmm. And now, today, you're too humble to say this, you and TJ Jagodowski, the actor you just mentioned, are considered to be the best in town, the elder statesmen. You're the guys that people who do improv look toward and say, wow, they're doing it right. I should do it more like those guys.
I love the way you look at Bill when he talks because you don't know how to take that.
I mean everything. Every word of that. There's no part of that I don't mean.
That's very nice of you.
Other improvisers say, I wish so badly I was like TJ. And then I go, what about Dave? And they go,
huh? Who?
He's all right.
I'm starting to learn. I've known you a long time, too, over 20-some years. And I never believe a word that he says, yet I fall for it. But it's nice to see some of his friends he goes far back with that they don't really believe him either.
Absolutely. He's like, yeah, I've been burned too many times, right?
I still get burned. What's wrong? Will I learn someday?
I don't know.
Hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah, that's how it works. It's great to see you.
Great to see you, too.
And have a great holiday.
And lovely to speak with you.
Lovely to speak with you. Watch Veep on HBO. It's always entertaining. And again, the book is called?
Improvisation at the Speed of Life.
Available everywhere? Where books are, I mean?
Yeah, we're book. Not everywhere. Yeah, like on a rowboat or something like that. A pleasure to meet you, Wendy.
You as well, Dave. Very nice.
They should have it on a rowboat. What's wrong with you?
I mean, if you bring it.
Yeah, then you have it.
Yeah, there's not going to be like a shack that sells them. It's a rowboat.
I get it. Thanks, David.
Thank you, David. Santa Claus is coming to town. Santa Claus is coming to town. Santa Claus is coming to town. Might be my favorite Christmas song. Bruce Springsteen.
He does a nice job with it, doesn't he?
That, and I like the Band-Aid. This is Do They Know It's Christmas Time.
Also good. I like the part in this song where Bruce Springsteen asks Clarence Clemens if he's been a good boy this year and what he would think Santa will bring him. I don't know why, but every man. Yeah. You've been a good boy this year, Clarence. I always enjoy that part.
That is a sweet little, and I like the laughing in it.
Yep.
Coming up next week, on our last week before the Christmas break, we will go over some of the best Christmas songs ever.
Let's do that.
Because I would like to do that.
All right.
But I played the Santa Claus song, Kevin did rather, because this was in the news. We didn't get to this yesterday for some reason. But, you know, when you're a kid, there are a couple of things you look forward to. Of course, presents. But you also look forward to sitting on Santa's lap.
Of course.
Did you like to go see Santa?
Very much.
I was not that kid who was scared of Santa.
No. Nope.
I never
neither.
Cried. I couldn't wait to get on his lap.
Mm-hmm.
But there was something going on in North Carolina, and this 9-year-old boy, Anthony Masai, I'm not saying it right. M-A-S-Y-S-E. Macise? Macise?
Sure. One of those.
Tomato? Tomato?
Yeah. Let's say Anthony.
Let's say Anthony. All There's right. a 9-year-old boy, and he wanted an iPod Touch and a drone for Christmas. So as he's sitting on Santa's lap, that's what he says. And then Anthony goes on to say, and when I got done, I'm quoting.
Yeah.
He said, lay off the hamburgers and french fries. And that really just disrespected me, and I felt awful.
That's terrible. And how old is Anthony?
He's 9 years old. Now, his mom, Anthony's mom, Ashley, cannot pronounce her last name, says, I was just mind blown. I wished a million times that he would have never went. Now, the town manager in North Carolina at this store, where was it? Forest City is who employed the Santa's helper. And the town manager says Santa apologized to both the supervisor and the Macy family, but wouldn't say whether disciplinary action was taken. Anthony said when he went to apologize to me, he didn't even mean it.
Oh, no. It's one thing to be fat shamed by somebody.
Santa is not supposed to do that.
Also, Santa could put on could stand to lose a pound or two.
Look who's talking, Santa. That's going to be the version right. of the Kramit Clowny.
Right. Right.
All right. So,
roly poly yourself, jolly old elf.
As of Wednesday of this week, the Santa still had his job. Forest City,
they
North
didn't
Carolina.
Fire him.
Well, that's my question.
I'm shocked.
Should he be fired? Should he be reprimanded? Definitely reprimanded. But when you're Santa's helper and you're hired for that, don't you know that really the customer's always right? And who's the customer? A little kid sitting on your lap every time.
I would imagine because most places don't just put you in the chair immediately. There's some training that's involved. And I would imagine that part of that Santa Claus training is to be
nice,
careful and nice with the kids and not do anything that would upset them. The last thing you want is what happened here with little Anthony is to what not of the Imperial.
I was thinking that. My head went
not
right there.
Not that little Anthony, but this little Anthony. Now this is has ruined his Christmas this year and maybe for Christmases to come. Anytime Anthony thinks about Santa Claus now, it'll be with a finger pointing at him going, hey, too many hamburgers and hot dogs. What's wrong with you?
It is just so rude, and I can't believe it. A 9-year-old, you know, I know there's an obesity problem in this world, and here's a clue. If you are a little overweight, you know it.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody says, hey, you're fat, you can go, duh.
Right.
So I just feel it's not a good thing for a 9-year-old to hear from Santa Claus. You're right. I think this is going to become one of those moments where no more Santa Claus from now on.
Maybe.
Because he'll think back and it'll ruin him.
I'm trying to remember if you were here the day that we did the story about the Santa Claus who said to a kid, are you on my naughty list or my nice list? You know who's on my naughty list? Hillary Clinton. We did that story a couple of weeks ago.
I
don't think you were here
that
day.
No, I wasn't.
So much like that, you say, I appreciate the fact that Santa has a wide range of thoughts and ideas and concepts. But
and
maybe,
material that he wants to use because he can't book himself at a comedy club.
Right.
I mean, I get that, but
maybe it's slightly inappropriate to be pulling it out on some kid that just wants to share his Christmas dreams. That's all.
These kids, you know, really idolize Santa Claus.
Yes.
All right, Gail wants to jump in. I don't know if this guy should get fired, but he certainly should get reprimanded. Gail, what do you think?
Not at all. I think that, first of all, the 9-year-old, he's too old to be sitting on Santa's lap.
Why? I was probably, I stopped going to visit Santa when it was 10 or older.
That right in
okay,
there?
Yeah.
You were a girl, and that was like 50 years ago, you know? So it's just, I mean, nowadays I have a 15-year-old son, and I totally get it. But it just gets to the point where these kids are contemporary. Santa's not the old Santa from 50 years ago, like ho, ho, ho. It's just old school stuff. I mean, he was being funny. I think that's hilarious. I crack up. I also work at a place where I say sarcastic remarks, and I push it to the edge, and my customers like it. Now, this kid who wants a computer and a drone, I mean, come on. You know, lay out some, go get some meatheads for Santa, you know? I just think it's contemporary and
Yeah, but you think it's funny that a 9-year-old kid is told to lay off the hamburger and french fries? I don't think a kid at 9 years old would take that as funny. It would take that as being, I'm very hurt by this.
So what does the kid look like?
They don't show, did you see a
picture
of him?
I can't use my computer. I'm doing a virus scan right now.
I didn't see any pictures of him.
He might have had a little excess weight, but that's, kids at 9 years old, some are very upset about that, and it's not like you can lose weight overnight. You don't think that's hurtful?
We don't know the whole conversation. We don't know what actually happened in between there. I don't think he should be fired. And yeah, you know, it's so hard to find good Santas. So,
that's the problem, Wendy. It's hard to find a good, it is.
I know the places that they get these crummy ones. So that's a good one. So, you know, I won't fire the guy, but it's okay. You can't insult the kid, but, you know, push it, and that's about it. They may have been talking about something, you know.
But
and
he went
we
to
just know about it.
But keep in mind, Gail, he went to see Santa Claus. He wasn't in line to see Jenny Craig. I mean, if she says something, then you go, all right, I got what I had coming.
You know, this could be a life-changing event where the kid finally does stop eating all that junk.
Wow, you are harsh, Gail. What if the kid has a glandular problem? Remember, that's what everybody used to
right.
say. But seriously, it's not Santa's place, you know, it's the parents' place to help the kid choose healthier food. And, you know, it's just kids who are fat don't want to hear they're fat.
Yeah, but that's too bad.
Well, we appreciate the call, Gail.
I'm not coming to your Christmas party.
Wendy is not coming to your Christmas party. Cross her off the list. Take care. Thanks for the phone call.
Thanks, Gail.
All right, let's do this. We'll take a break, and then there's plenty of other people that want to weigh in on this, no pun intended. We're at 312-981-7200. Give us your thoughts. We'll be back after this. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Santa baby, just slip a sable under the tree.
Is this Eartha?
For me.
I don't think it is.
Eartha Kitt.
Is it Eartha
Kitt?
Yeah.
I think one of the originals.
Oh.
Everybody's done this song.
Yeah.
I do a version of this song.
Where is that available?
Only in my basement.
Oh, all right.
I've not recorded it, but I enjoy singing it every holiday. All right, we were talking about Santa, and while sitting on Santa's lap, a 9-year-old North Carolina boy said that the noted cookie lover decided to dispense diet advice, suggesting he lay off the hamburgers and french fries.
Wow.
Anthony Macy said he walked away in tears after meeting Santa over the weekend in Forest City, North Carolina. Here's what 9-year-old Anthony Macy had to say. It affected me so bad that I was crying until I went to bed that night. And I would say to him, like my mama said, you don't want to disrespect a 9-year-old. Anthony was talking to a news station when this quote happened.
Sure.
Even though what shape and size you are, it doesn't matter. And later on, Bill added a bonus to the story. He later tore up the photo of him and the less than jolly Santa.
He did? This is awful.
It's not something you should be doing.
This ruined Anthony's life.
Do you think that's something Santa should be saying?
No.
A guy who eats cookies all the time?
Right.
Patrick, what do you think?
First off, Gail got me angry. For anyone, I guarantee you, if somebody walked up to Gail and said, hey, Gail, you need to lose some weight. You look a little heavy today. She would beat the crap out of the guy. Who of all people is Santa to be telling a little kid to lose weight?
Right.
His belly shook like a bowl full of jelly. I mean,
says it right in the paw.
Yeah.
I mean,
Santa, all people should be saying, hey, rock on. Looks like you need a couple more cookies or something. Not to say, that guy should have been punched in the face, much less fired. I mean, come on. Right. You know, you're being Santa.
I know you wait in lines for hours. You pay an exorbitant fee to get a picture that honestly you could just take yourself if they'd let you.
And hey, you need to lose weight.
Yeah.
Terrible.
And Merry Christmas.
Terrible.
Not anymore.
I mean, I don't get people anymore, man. You know, it's like a pharmacist that decides they don't want to give somebody a prescription that doesn't go along with their religion. You took this job knowing you're going to have to get somebody a prescription for something you don't like.
Sure, of course.
But then you're going to take the job and say, no, I don't want to do that. And then you're going to be Santa Claus and be like, oh, I'm supposed to be a nice, jolly guy. And then I'm going to tell the little kid and he needs to lose weight. Punch in the face.
Punch in the face,
Patrick,
says Patrick.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Do you think that would change children's perception of Christmas if they saw Santa getting punched in the face by the store manager?
Ask Billy Bob Thornton and Bad Santa, because there really is some good stuff in that movie.
Come here, Kris Kringle. Sit still. 1 second. This will just take a second.
I'm telling you right now, I could not be one of Santa's helpers, because you, a kid, this little kid, this nine-year-old, was asking for an iPod and a drone.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see what we can do, little Anthony. But it's like Santa's kind of lying to some of these people.
Well, they have to be. They have to present these ideas in a way that is non-committal. They have to say, "Well,
you can't
you
go.
Know,
not going to happen this year,
right,
Anthony. Let me tell you."
Right. You have to say, "You know, I'm going to do my best to get you those presents. Yeah, I know you've been good. I'm going to try my best."
All right, Chuck. You were a mall Santa for how many years?
10 years. Cool. I did it for. I did some private parties, but I mainly did the mall. Can I say what mall I worked at?
Yeah.
Chicago Ridge.
Oh yeah.
Outside.
Very nice.
And I mean, these kids, you know, when kids come up to Santa, they think you're the one and only. I mean, you're like a rock star to them. You're like, I mean, it's like Santa, you know, you can't say things to hurt their feelings. I mean, it's, I can't even believe the guy would say something like that, you know, like.
I can't either.
And as far as screening and stuff goes, yeah, I mean, Santa's got, I mean, we had to go to like Santa school. We actually had classes and you had to know what to smell Santa like. So, for example, Santa smells like peppermints, not like, you know, beef jerky. I mean,
not like Rumpelmints.
I think it's peppermint schnapps, yes.
So, you had to present yourself as, you know, you had to go into character, like as if you were acting. I took that job very seriously because, you know, Santa's a bright spot in a lot of kids' lives at
sure.
that time of the year.
Yep.
You know?
So what and is an is there such is there such a thing as an average Santa's class? Like, what goes on during an average Santa's class?
Well, it was just a bunch of us, like, sitting in a back room of the mall. That was our classroom, and we had one, like, elder Santa, like, that has done it for a lot of years, and he would just basically go over the rules. Like you were talking about earlier, don't promise anything. Don't say, okay, I'll get you. You know, kind of like tell them, well, if you've been good, Santa, I'll see what we could do for you, and blah, blah, blah. And the worst thing they ever did was bring your pet for a picture with Santa Day. That is the worst idea ever.
Not for the pet owner, but I guess Santa, even though he likes animals, I bet he gets peed on once in a while.
Well, the Chicago Ridge Canine Unit decided to bring the police dog for a picture with Santa. And they told me, don't make eye contact with the dog. They took the muzzle off. And I'm looking at the dog, and the dog's growling at me, and I'm trying to smile, and I'm saying under my breath, hurry up, take the picture, hurry up, take the picture. So, but it was a lot of fun. I did it for 10 years. I did parties. I did everything. I mean, it was a privilege to me to play that role. And for somebody to go ahead and say something to hurt a kid's feelings like that, he ought to be permanently stripped of his Santa suit and have his beard cut off.
That's it.
I am in total agreement, Chuck. Thank you, and happy holidays to you. Merry Christmas.
I love you guys. I listen to you every day. In fact, I miss work sometimes to listen to you guys.
Thank you,
so do
Chuck.
We.
Yeah. Wow.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chuck. You know, I feel pressured into saying happy holidays because when you, I'll say Merry Christmas because that's what I celebrate. But what if someone I'm speaking to isn't a Christian and isn't celebrating Christmas? Then I feel funny.
That's the thing. It's all encompassing if you say happy holidays. So you can say either. I switch it up.
Merry
Don't
Christmas.
You switch it up? I switch it up. All right. We'll take a quick break. Some news. We've got news coming up in a little while. And then Patrick McDonald will be on. It's the holiday season at the box office, too. Find out what movies are coming your way over the weekend. Bill and Wendy, WGN. All right, it's time to talk movies with Patrick McDonald, film critic for HollywoodChicago.com, chief tour guide at Chicago Film Tour. Go to ChicagoFilmTour.com. They do a great job of showing you where your favorite movies have been filmed all around the Chicagoland area.
And depending on the weather, we will be running a tour at 12:30 on December 17th, but that's depending on the weather. So if you want to go to ChicagoFilmTour.com, look us up and book that.
Excellent.
It might be canceled.
Oh, I hope it isn't.
I hope it isn't.
I hope you go through with it. Before we talk about the new movies that are coming out this weekend, there's a huge controversy in the world of film about the movie Last Tango in Paris.
Yes.
If people aren't familiar with Last Tango in Paris, it's a Bernardo Bertolucci film made decades and decades ago with Marlon Brando and Maria Schneider.
Yes.
It was shocking when it came out.
Rated X.
It was rated X.
It was?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
When that meant something.
And right. And for as shocking as it was back then,
yes,
all of a sudden it's back in the news because?
Well, what's interesting about this story is that it was revealed back in 2007 in a Maria Schneider interview.
Who's no longer with us.
Who's no longer with us. She revealed that in a certain assault scene where she was assaulted and they were using butter, that the scene, what was about to happen to her was not told to her.
Right.
Meaning that Brando, in his method acting ways, actually went after and did this act to get a natural reaction of the then 19-year-old. Maria Schneider, I know.
Was that Bertolucci's doing?
Yes,
or
apparently him and Brando got together and decided to do it that way. Now, Bertolucci, again, this is how the internet works. It flashes all over the place without any kind of follow-up, and finally somebody got to the original director, and he denies everything.
He does.
But apparently it's on the record with Schneider, and of course Schneider and Brando both gone, so we don't know how to follow up.
If true, it seems horribly unfair to a woman to do something like this to her.
Right.
The claim at the time that Maria Schneider made was that they wanted an honest reaction, that they didn't want an actress being an actress. But they wanted to see what it would be like for a woman to be violated in such a way.
Well, it's not a documentary.
Right.
And her age is an issue, too.
Yeah.
Meaning 19. that Bertolucci apparently didn't trust her as an actress to do something like that. So he shouldn't have
cast her.
Well, that's why it's speculative, because I don't know if somebody would really... If two older men like that would treat a 19-year-old like that.
It is. This surfaced in 2007, you said.
Correct.
She's the one who came out with this information.
Right, in an interview. And then for some reason it got back into the circulation recently.
Yeah.
Maybe some clickbait place wanted to do a shock article and found that interview and, you know.
Now, there have been dozens and dozens of cases where directors have decided to do something on film and not make the actors aware of it.
Right.
Alfred Hitchcock was famous for doing this.
He did
it several times. I would even say on the television show MASH, there's an episode where McLean Stevenson's character dies.
Right.
And the cast was not told of this. They said, we're going to shoot one more scene. Just come into a room and we're going to tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
And that's on TV. But never anything this dramatic as a woman being violated this way, assaulted this way, in that scene.
Well, you know, again, I think a lot of the stuff that came up during the campaign is still kind of circulating throughout the zeitgeist, you know, right now. And I think, again, somebody found that and said, oh, let's put that up because that's in the news, I guess.
Here's the question. People talk about, and not just this film, because it was a shocking film when it came out.
Yes.
But Bernardo Bertolucci is considered to be a master of filmmaking.
Mm-hmm.
Marlon Brando is Marlon Brando.
Yes.
So now there's all kinds of people really saying, we need to relook at them. We need to see them in a different light if they would do something so sinister. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, again, this is how you separate the art and the artist. We have come over many examples. Roman Polanski, Woody Allen, you know. How do you separate the art from the artist? Now, some people can't, and they will never see a Woody Allen film again. I know several people like that. But other people, you know, that's not my business, basically. This is a personal issue. Now, if this is in fact true about Last Tango in Paris, it is an issue regarding that movie and those two individuals because they did it in the midst of the production.
Yeah. And we will never know, evidently.
Apparently. Well, I mean, again, Snyder made it on the record. So, again, we can't follow up with her, obviously.
Yeah.
Only three people know the truth on this.
Right.
Two of them are no longer with us.
Yeah.
Isn't there a cameraman or somebody who was alive that might come forward?
Yeah.
Or a gaffer?
Reporter.
Yeah.
Investigative.
It'll be the most famous gaffer ever. I don't even know what a gaffer is, but I see it all the time.
Right.
Okay.
All right. That aside.
All right.
A different kind of unpleasantness.
Good.
There's a new Star Wars movie coming out called Rogue One. And
why is there unpleasantness?
That's not the unpleasant part. You'll agree. I think you'll agree with me about the unpleasant part. The unpleasant part is because of this, you wanted to talk about the Star Wars Christmas special.
Yes.
which is, have you
it's
seen it?
It's awesome.
Is it awesome?
It's campy and very campy.
I knew it's, you. It's probably a holiday tradition.
We watch
house.
It at our house. Yes. It is. It's not that.
Do you
great
celebrate
quality.
Life Day?
No. God, I don't even know what that is. Don't that's suck me into this.
That's the Christmas substitute in the holiday special.
The Wookiees also.
Remember, oh yeah. Oh, we don't celebrate.
But remember,
it.
Carrie Fisher sings the Life Day song.
Yes.
Yeah. And you have Beatrice Arthur in there, yes. And you have Art Carney in there.
And how can you not like it with those two stars? Well,
there's a lot of camp in it, but I defy anybody to... I mean, it's a long hour and a half. Come on. The whole beginning part...
I've not seen the whole thing, I'll admit it. The kids and Jim,
you're
of course,
serving
watches
cookies
it.
And,
you can't.
And making cider in the kitchen.
It came out in 1978, I want to
yes,
say.
How did
after.
That happen?
It's an amazing story, actually.
It happened because CBS said, we can't miss anything Star Wars. It was a year after the movie came out,
yes.
And it was still as it was molten hot. And they
still.
Went, all we need to do is throw the word Star Wars on anything, and people will watch. And they did. The ratings were good. But since then, Lucasfilm...
they deny it exists.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
It's so fascinating because it's such an interesting document of that period, and all the actors are still young,
right?
Yeah.
You know, and I was doing research on it, and apparently Lucas was involved in the Wookiee scene where they didn't do any dialogue; it was just all in Wookiee,
right?
And somebody said it will be an hour and a long Lassie episode.
That's the cutest part. I love Chewie.
I will point out exactly how bad it is. George Lucas, over the years, has put out over a dozen different versions of Star Wars on DVD, and you name the format. He'll tinker with it just enough and then sell you a new version. How many versions of the Star Wars Christmas special can you get on tape or DVD?
There is only the Boba Fett cartoon that has been released on DVD as an Easter egg in one of the packages. Yeah,
but he loves to release anything. And even he said, I can't, I don't want people to see this. I can't.
I think they're softening up on it because of the nostalgia value. Come
oh,
on.
Really?
Release it. Do the audio track with all the principles. It would be amazing.
There are some people who love it.
Yes.
Your husband loves it.
I don't know if he loves it, but he watches it.
And
it's just, it brings him back to being a kid.
Yeah.
I guess that's
exactly.
really all it is.
Exactly. Yeah. It yeah. I think you need that thing from Clockwork Orange where you force your eyes open and somebody can
right.
get their eye drops
right.
above and
that's the only
help
way.
You out.
I wish Malcolm McDowell would have been on that special.
I'm shocked they didn't find a place for him. Let's do
well,
this.
We finally learn about Princess Leia this
yes.
week, too,
yes.
her name.
Yes.
The origin of her name.
All right, let's come back. We'll talk more about this. Patrick McDonald is here. You know him from HollywoodChicago.com. The great website, and then he's also the chief guide over at ChicagoFilmTour.com. Go see. This is an incredible tour of all the sites where your favorite movies have been filmed. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Patrick McDonald is here, film critic over at HollywoodChicago.com. Chief guide for the Chicago Film Tour. Go to ChicagoFilmTour.com or call 312-593-4455. We were just talking about Star Wars. There's a new Star Wars movie coming out very soon called Rogue One. We were talking about the Star Wars Christmas special. Despite the warning that we've all given it, several texters have said, where can we get copies? We need to see it. We loved it when it was on. You can't buy a copy of it
right.
but YouTube.
I think you can go on eBay and people burn copies.
Yeah,
you know, but,
that's the best thing to do with it.
Yeah, there you go. And yes, you can go on YouTube and watch the entire thing. I think it's still up there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really quick, one more Star Wars note. It was discovered a couple of months ago now, I guess, that Carrie Fisher said she had had an affair with Harrison Ford while making the Star Wars trilogy.
Yes.
Now Mark Hamill has reacted to this.
Yes, he has. He said he was unaware of it.
Why not me? That's what he said.
Did he say, why not me?
He said, I was blissfully unaware. I was so self-involved at that point. They could have been doing it in front of me. I wouldn't have noticed.
How about that?
I was single and had my own agenda, and she was my sister. Oh, spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
Did you add that part?
Because it's Christmas season,
yes.
On television, you're going to see the classics very often. You're going to see It's a Wonderful Life quite
yes.
often. You're going to see Elf. And then A Christmas Carol, which is one of the best. Which version of the Christmas Carol should we be looking for?
Well, my favorite is always the 1951 British version. Alistair Sim. A young Patrick McNee, Mr. Steed from The
Ooh,
Avengers.
I loved that show.
Without the Derby.
Yes, and he plays young Marley in a flashback, but it's the most reverential one, I think. It's dark. It's not a light version at all, but because of the darkness, when he is reformed at the end, it's a massive joy.
Yeah,
it's beautifully, beautifully done in 87 minutes of storytelling.
There's a version that came out a couple of years ago where they had colorized it, and
yes.
I urge you to see it in black and white. I know some people are still a little nervous about black and white films, but
right.
this is one that you need to see in black and white.
Well, the cinematography was adapted for black and white. I mean, that's the whole thing about the colorized version. Now, they're going to have a colorized Dick Van Dyke episode on Sunday, which I applaud, because that was not choreographed for black and white.
Yeah.
It was just black and white TV back in the day.
Yeah.
So that will be interesting. You know, I saw that on HD recently, an episode of Dick Van Dyke, like on a 70-inch screen. I mean, huge. I think everything was made of cardboard in that office.
Probably.
Because once you get it in high definition,
you can tell.
It's just like, wow, those sets are flimsy.
Yeah.
Watch it, Mel.
Now, the version of Christmas Carol you mentioned.
Yes.
You said it's dark. All versions of it are dark. It's a dark story. It's a
right.
bunch of ghosts coming to visit an old guy to convince him that his ways have not been the best. But in this one in particular, the ghost scenes really are pretty scary.
Yes.
They really are.
Yes, they are. And, you know, they've done the lighter versions, Mr. Magoo and...
I forgot about that one.
The Scrooge musical, of course, with Albert Finney.
And any TV show that lasts more than five seasons, one of their
yes.
Christmas episodes is their family's version of A Christmas Carol, right?
Yes, Urkel. It was quite good as The Ghost of Christmas Past.
Yeah. All right, a couple of new movies are coming out. Speaking of Christmas, Office
yes.
Christmas Party.
Office Christmas Party. Three out of five for that one. T.J. Miller is actually carrying most of the film. A lot of cliches about the party movie, but the guys who did Blades of Glory, Josh Gordon and Will Speck, are behind this, and there's a lot of funny parts. But it wasn't completely successful for me. And of course, it's set in Chicago, the Chicago of the blending of Chicago and what other locations they were. They actually went and digitized some of the buildings in the background. As you can tell, it's not Chicago.
But, when I first saw the ads for this, mm-hmm. it looked like Horrible Bosses 3 because
yes.
you have Jason Bateman and you
yes.
have Jennifer Aniston
yes.
looking very much like they did in the Horrible Bosses movie. And the tone of it is similar to Horrible Bosses. Very,
yes.
A lot of people getting hurt.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Boy, you nailed that. It is Horrible Bosses 3, Office Christmas Party. No, 3 out of 5 for that.
3 out of 5,
but
so
of course,
some laughs along the way?
Yeah, oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. And very, you know, it's the alternate to all the other stuff. Just a raunchy comedy. Go for it. And then, of course, one of my perfect scores of the year for Jackie.
This looks really
beautiful
good.
Beautiful movie.
Natalie Portman is yes. Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis.
Yes, yes.
That's a good casting.
During a key week in her life, the assassination and the funeral. You know, how do you do the most famous woman of the last 50 years? You take one key week and you show it. And it's just beautifully done.
A lot of people are hinting that this is an Academy Award nominee for sure and possibly
yes.
a winner. She's that good.
I'm pulling for Natalie Portman to win that Oscar. I think it's definitely the best performance I've seen besides Rebecca Hall and Christine.
Yeah.
Those are the two contenders for me.
You know what's tough about playing this role is that for the public, whenever we saw Jacqueline Bouvier, then Kennedy, then Onassis,
yeah.
she was almost always at the same level. You know, there wasn't a lot of variance in her character, and I would imagine that that's hard to play. How does she pull this off for 90 minutes?
Well, interestingly enough, they show her in a couple of contexts. When she did that famous White House tour in 1961, where, you know, that very formal voice that she had,
yeah.
that breathy formal voice.
Yeah.
And then they show her a week after the assassination doing her first major interview. And the voice is different. It has an edge. It has a, you know, so there's a way to create the character by showing that extreme tragedy.
Yeah.
I think, and that's the context in which Pablo Larraín, the director, used, who's a Chilean director. So he's kind of looking from the outside in to America. And basically in the movie, Jackie, I believe, represents the loss of the American innocence back then during the assassination, which we here don't remember because we weren't born yet.
Right. I have to think when you play a character that's that well known, you have to be careful because you don't want to do an impression of the character, right. But if you don't sound and look and act like the character, people go, well, that's not the Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis we know.
Well, and one of the points about Jackie Onassis is that we never really heard her speak that much. Think about that. I mean, once the assassination took place, everything regarding the Kennedy administration was kind of pushed to the side until they started looking at it historically.
Yeah.
So for years, we never heard or seen Jackie. You know, we followed her in the tabloids and as she married Aristotle Onassis and everything. But, you know, really... Was her voice that well known? I don't.
Not
think
as much
so.
As her fashion flair,
yes, right? Or her look,
yeah.
That right. was her thing. And to your point, you know that even character that she sort of showed throughout the years, especially after the funeral.
She's the reason, Patrick, that I always wear a pillbox hat. It's because of Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis.
You know, you mentioned
look great in strawberry pink.
Thank you
about getting the voice correct and everything. Mm-hmm. I think William Devane did a great JFK.
He did. No,
was it the
Chowder.
He did.
Good chowder.
Right. What if they only had him say that? Nothing
what
else.
What was that in?
That was in the Missiles of October.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yes.
Was Martin Sheen in that also?
Martin yes. Sheen played Bobby.
Yeah. So who plays him in this version, who plays John F. Kennedy?
Casper Philipson, a Scandinavian actor. They dub all his voice things.
Chowder. I don't know what Scandinavian sounds like.
Like that. I think you got it.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Yeah, chowder.
And what is it called? Just Jackie?
Jackie, yeah.
I want to see that.
That would have ruined the movie if no matter what was happening, John F. Kennedy comes up and goes, we're going to need more chowder in every scene. Other than that, the movie was great.
Yeah, other than that,
a
Mrs.
perfect
Candy,
score.
I was
yeah.
the play.
Yep. Patrick, thank you so much.
It was a drive.
Great to see you. Patrick McDonald, his website is HollywoodChicago.com. He's also the chief guide, as we mentioned, at Chicago Film Tour. Go on it. You'll enjoy it very much. Have a great holiday if we don't
Happy
see you.
Happy holidays to all, and especially Bill and Wendy.
Perfect.
Thank you,
My
Patrick.
Mentors.
Thank you, Kim.
Thanks, Kim.
I didn't know if you were going to be back down here.
Oh, yeah.
We had a table read. I don't know that we should reveal stuff, but I got to see Bill Leff's acting at,
thank you
at his finest.
Thank you. And yours as well. Every year, WGN puts on an old-time radio holiday classic Christmas play, and we're going to do it again a week from Friday. And I love stuff like that.
It's really fun.
It's fun.
And I like everybody gets together. We do a little table read. And I didn't know that you'd be finished, so I had stuff prepared.
Oh.
But great
Let's
job.
Let's do it. Oh, thank you. You too.
I'm also, the mom is kicking in me. You've had nothing to eat for lunch.
No, that's okay. We'll have something later.
I'm fine.
I'll stop at the Sizzler.
God, I wish Sizzler was still around.
I'll have the hibachi chicken.
But, you know,
Malibu chicken.
You eat a good-sized lunch every day. I can get by with a glass of champagne or some sushi. Do you want me to go get you something?
No. You know this.
Do you want a listener to drop something off?
Yes. I have to have Chinese food once every other day, either
you
for
do
breakfast,
it.
Lunch, or dinner.
A lot.
I love Chinese food, and it has been almost 48 hours since I've had Chinese food. So if you're a Panda Express in the area and you feel the need to bring some by, I would have some orange chicken. But if not, don't worry. I understand.
I wish I had a Firehouse Subs in my pocket.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice?
No, maybe I wouldn't give it to you.
Thank you. So the mom kicks in, but only to some extent.
No, I really do. I worry about you making it through the day.
How did you find time to eat?
I didn't.
Oh, you didn't either?
I can go a while without it. Yeah, I'm like,
you're like a camel.
I have an apple. If you guys want an apple, you can split it.
Can I tell you something about an apple? Whenever I have an apple, first of all, that is my least favorite fruit. I know it's really good for you, but yeah. I like the sweet stuff like strawberries, blueberries, peaches, nectarines,
right.
Mango, papaya, pineapple. An apple does nothing for
Apples
me.
Apple's in last place of all the ones.
Oh, my God.
Is it really? Yeah.
And I know it keeps the doctor away.
Last place. Like even mango. Mango's
oh, yeah.
higher. Mango's so hard to like get out. It's a lot
I got
of work.
A mango slicer.
Braggart.
It looks like part of the female anatomy. It does. And you kind of slide it down, and the pit inside a mango is not round. It's kind of weirdly oblong.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
And this, just you just put it on top of the mango, you slide it down, and you get lovely mango, complete with its juices.
I'm with you in that the apple is overrated. I don't know that I'd put it in last place. But it's not as great as people say it is.
And it doesn't satisfy me. If
no.
I'm going to eat an apple, that just tells my stomach acid, hey, more foods are coming.
Right.
So it doesn't really do its job.
It's a precursor to better food ahead, but it should not be the end of the day.
I'm really shocked with you two.
Why?
There's nothing more American than an apple.
It is one
in
of the
pie.
Symbols.
I like it in pie.
As it is. Look how beautiful that is. It's just a little gem right there.
Yeah.
That I
God
dropped
doesn't
on the
make
floor.
Little green apples.
It doesn't rain in Minneapolis in the summertime. I would take a green apple to a red apple
Me too.
Any day.
Granny Smith, because
no.
It tastes like a giant sweet tart. There
well,
is.
Wait, Kevin said no to that. Like we're insane.
Is that a Honeycrisp?
This
read the little tag
is,
and what's the SKU number? I got to ring it up.
It's a Pink Lady.
Oh, those are not good.
What?
an apple needs to be firm, crisp, and tart.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
Would you agree?
Yep. On all counts.
So, the Pink Ladies sometimes are mushy.
Well, I dropped this one. There's a big bruise,
oh,
so that part's
you
definitely
can't
mushy.
Eat that.
I'm gonna eat around it.
A Honeycrisp is the most expensive apple, and that is the only one I will eat. And it's kind of a combo of a Granny Smith and a red apple. So there's a little sweet, but there's some tart in there,
right.
too. But Granny
there's
Smith is the way to go. That thing is like tart like a sweet tart.
Yeah, 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 yeah. But never, like people, I know people who will just have that as a lunch. I'll just have an apple for lunch.
Yeah, that's
just, not enough.
You know what? I'd rather not eat.
Right.
All right. Well, if somebody wants to drop off some food for
no,
Bill,
I'm not going to beg for food. We have 2 more hours, and then I'll just stop on the way home and get something. But I felt, and you did the same, that table read for the Christmas pageant was far more important than any lunch we could possibly have. So we devoted our hour to reading.
I don't want to make you feel bad, but I don't think we were necessarily needed. I think they're just trying to time it out so they know
maybe.
When to do breaks.
That's fine. Either way.
But I'm telling you, tune in next Friday on this very radio station, 720 WGN, and you will hear the radio play of A Christmas Carol,
mm-hmm.
and Bill will deliver. Let me just say that.
Oh, you're
pressure's
very nice.
On.
Thank you. As will you. Don't you think?
Sure.
Are you happy with the part you got?
Oh, yeah, actually.
I was hoping for a bigger part, to be honest with you.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
And in the play.
We're talking apples.
The best snack is peanut butter with green apples.
That is that's, good.
That's
I've had that. That is really good.
A jar of peanut butter and that oily kind, the one that you talked about the other day.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only kind of peanut butter to use. And a snack of apples. Got to be the green apples, though. The other ones are just a waste of time.
Agreed.
I will tell you that is a great and healthy late night snack. I'm not a huge peanut butter lover, but if you have a taste for something sweet and the kids have eaten all the Oreos, it is really good to put peanut butter on an apple.
A little different than an Oreo, though. It's a different food.
It is. No,
yeah,
it is.
I know, but you still
is.
Get to crunch it a little bit.
Thanks, guys.
Have a good one, Tom.
And caramel apples shouldn't only be for Halloween. You can enjoy a caramel apple any time of the year. It's always delicious.
That's the only good use of a green apple is the caramel apple.
Don't say that, Kevin.
True.
It's not true.
You gotta have nuts on it, though.
Yeah?
It's boring without the nuts.
I'm not a fan of nuts. Normally, I would never eat them on their own, but in a caramel apple, that works.
Wish you had a bigger part.
Yeah.
Hi, Jane.
Hi. I just wanted to let you know that you need to try the Fuji apple.
Hands down,
similar
the best.
To a Gala, and the Fuji is so good.
So describe what makes that different from other apples.
It's similar to a Gala. I can't really give you an explanation, but Fuji is amazing. And then throw some slices of extra sharp cheddar cheese in your little package.
Oh, that's interesting.
You've got a great combination.
Cheese and apples.
Can I just ask why people put a piece of cheddar cheese on apple pie? Because I've seen it. I've never witnessed it. I've never tasted it. But you see it in advertisements all the time. Have you ever had that, Jane?
I have not, but I can understand why. Because I don't know if it's the tartness of the apple and then you get that cheese and it's just a really nice flavor that melts together in your mouth. Just try it sometime. It's like the peanut butter and apple. That's a really good thing. Or peanut butter and celery is always good too with raisins.
I don't like raisins. They shouldn't even exist. But
no,
I like grapes.
No more raisins. All right.
Yeah, just take the raisins off the celery and peanut butter then.
What's that called? Man in a boat or something?
Ants on a log?
Ants on a log.
Man in a boat? What?
I wish I had a bigger part. All right, Jane, thank you for calling. Yep. I was thinking of something else.
I bet you were. My mom used to make...
I need a cigarette now.
My mom used to make at Halloween caramel apple pie.
Really?
And yeah, she got the recipe. We went into... I got to remember the name of this restaurant. There was a restaurant in Orland Park. Oh, the Charlie Horse, it was called.
I've actually heard of that place.
It was like a sports bar. It's no longer there. And we were in there once, and at Halloween time, they had... this caramel apple pie, and my mom just said casually, I would love to make this at home, and then the waitress brought her an index card
With the
recipe on it, so then my mom started making it, and I have no idea. I know there's a computer now. I could probably look it up, but boy, was that good. Every year at Halloween, she'd make a couple of those, and just so good.
Did she share with anybody, or did she make two pies for just the four of you?
She would make us a pie, and then we would, the four of us, we'd eat it within minutes. 10 minutes later, that pie's gone.
So you needed a backup pie?
The next day, she'd make another one.
You had a great mom.
Yeah.
All right, we were talking about, have you ever had the apple pie with melted cheese on it?
No, I've seen it, but I've never tasted it. To me, even though that's an interesting idea, apples and cheese don't go together, I don't think.
Maybe a chunk of cheddar and a chunk of apple,
maybe.
Raw, but not cooked in a pie where it deserves to have
right.
Vanilla ice cream melted on top
right.
of it. You've had it? Is this Hap?
Yes, it is. Hello, Wendy.
Hello, Hap.
Wendy and Bill, in college, I still like apple pie, and I always have.
Yeah.
And in college, somebody wanted to put cheese on my apple pie. And I said, what do you want to do that for?
It right.
kind of ruins a good piece of apple pie.
Yeah.
And the server said, well, sir, don't you know that apple pie without cheese is like a kiss without a squeeze? And I said, okay, fine.
And did the waiter kiss you and squeeze you then?
No, I didn't go that far.
Lucky. You're very lucky, Happy.
Or unlucky.
Yeah, I guess. And so did you try it based on that little poem?
No.
No, you did not.
It didn't work for you even.
Nope.
I don't. And I know I've honestly seen when people advertise. Remember Wags? It was a subsidiary of Walgreens.
Yes.
They had great strawberry pie. And then if you'd look at the pie menu, there would be a piece of apple pie with cheddar cheese
right.
melted on it.
Right.
And I've never pulled the trigger on that.
I don't know where it came from, but as far as I'm concerned, and stay there.
Tell us the poem one more time, Hap. Apple pie without cheese is like a kiss without a squeeze.
You got it.
That's
very
it?
Simple.
All right. Words to live by, Wendy.
Merry Christmas, guys.
And to you, Hap.
You
thanks
as
so
well.
Much.
I think that was a poem by Marlon Brando.
Did Marlon Brando write that?
Yes.
Really? All right. Let's take a quick break, and then we've got a lot more show for you. Want to jump in? We'd love to hear from you. We're at 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. All right, so we're debating about the value of pie, of apples in apple pie. Well, apples in all things, really.
The only place I like apples is in a pie. Would you agree with that statement or no?
Yeah. I know I should like them more. I don't know.
They're just nothing.
Way overrated, the apple.
What about
way
an apple teeny?
I've had that.
Did it have a little umbrella in it?
It didn't have one, but I asked for them to put one in. They said, I'm not going to have this without an umbrella. What if I get a little bit of rain on me?
What's that bubble drink you drink?
What's the bubble drink? Club soda?
No. The
raspberry fop.
Oh, the raspberry bubble?
Yeah.
Raspberry fop.
Fop?
I challenge you to a duel, sir.
I'll take that challenge.
The raspberry bubble.
So, of course, you've had an apple teeny. I never had one of those either. Steve, have you ever had a piece of apple pie with melted cheese on it, and why do they do it?
No. I've seen, I think, a slice of cheese unmelted with pie, but...
That doesn't go together.
All right, Winnie, we were talking about Wags because I thought they had the best strawberry pie known to man. And I noticed that there was a piece of apple pie in their little pie menu, and there was a piece of either American or cheddar cheese on it. Do you know something about this?
When I was in high school, I worked at the Walgreens in Oak Park on Lake Street, and we had a restaurant and a counter. And the most popular dessert that we served there was a piece of apple pie with cheddar cheese melted on it and cinnamon sauce.
That was the number one selling pie.
Yes, it was, and the number one selling dessert.
Did you ever try it when you were there, Winnie, on your break?
No.
Isn't this so weird?
I'm not a big anything on my pie or cake. It just has to be plain.
Right. The original flavor only.
And we've made
it was the most popular thing. We could not keep the pie in stock with the cheese and the cinnamon sauce on it.
Okay, everyone we have talked to, including Winnie, who worked at Walgreens, has heard about
They've seen it, but no one's had it. Yeah.
Huh. That's very interesting.
Thanks,
Winnie. It is very interesting. But I love apple pie, but it has to just be apple pie.
And that's it.
That's it.
All right. Understandable.
Thank you, Winnie.
Good holidays. Thank you.
You too. You too.
Bye.
To this day, one of the biggest thrills, and I don't know why this just gets me so happy, but it does. If I go into a restaurant, and it's mostly like your Greek diner type restaurants where they have a little bit of everything.
My favorite places.
Up at the counter, they'll have that. It's a case, but it revolves, and there's pies just going around and around and around. And I get so mesmerized by that. A lot of times I don't even order. I don't even want dessert. But once I see that, it's like, oh, look what's coming, key lime. Oh, what's next? Banana cream. Oh, what's next? It just goes around in a circle, and I'm an adult. I've seen more impressive things, but that just makes me so happy.
It's the display, Bill, because when you're sick of looking at the key lime, then all of a sudden a strawberry rhubarb will show up. It's just, it's magical how you can have a pie wheel.
That's how you'll know. If I ever really make it, that's how you'll know.
You'll have one in your house?
I'll have one in my house. One of the things you'll see.
Bill's in the pie wheel room.
Just watching it go around and around. I could sit there for 10 minutes and watch it. And at some point, you memorize it. You go, I know what's coming next, the Cherry's Jubilee.
How long does that take, Bill?
Not that long.
It is fun to watch that, though, because it is so unique.
Yeah, I know.
I don't think I've ever ordered anything from it. Sometimes they'll have an occasional rice pudding in there in the little silver footed container.
Well, one time, I don't remember the name of the restaurant we were at, but it was like the Olympus or the Athens. It's like a Greek diner. So I order some dessert, and I said to the waiter, is it going to
come? There's a fly in my soup.
Is it going to come from the pie case? And he goes, yeah. And then my wife goes, well, where'd you think it was going to come from? That's where they keep their desserts, is in the pie case. But I just like knowing that it was part of the
it
show.
It made it taste better, didn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
That's like almost fetishy.
No, I get it, Bill.
Is it coming from the pie?
Yeah,
please.
It's exciting.
But he answered it like others have asked him the same way. Like, yeah, oh, yeah.
It was
like,
not that bizarre of a question. Maybe those were just for show, not for eating.
What do you have fresh in the pie case?
It does sound creepy. It sounds creepy.
A little creepy.
All right, Casey, we're given the wrong information. You don't melt the cheese on top of the apple pie?
You do not. You just put a slice of nice cold apple or cheddar cheese on top of the hot apple pie.
So it kind of melts a little.
Yeah, but it's the combination of the cold with the hot that makes it so unique and tasty.
That part makes sense to me. It's just the I don't know that the flavors would gel, but you say they do, right?
They do. Yeah. It's delicious.
All right.
So you are the only person we've talked to that has actually experienced it.
Oh, and I love it. I wouldn't eat apple pie any other way.
What about apple pie from the pie wheel? Or what do you call it? The pie case?
The carousel of love.
Yes, I would eat that.
Yeah, it's better coming from there.
It sure is.
Yep.
Thank you, Casey. Have a great holiday.
Bye, Casey.
Thanks. Bye.
All right. For some reason, and I hate to say this, but well, it's obvious, it seems to be more of a Wisconsin thing in my head because it's cheese. I go, you know, in Wisconsin, I would imagine they would just toss a bit of cheese on their pie. Why wouldn't you? It's America's Dairyland.
Well, the woman called from Oak Park, and
yeah,
it was their number one selling.
Right,
that's not Wisconsin.
That's nowhere near Wisconsin.
And
that's
quite
true.
Honestly, put a piece of cheese on anything, and it tastes better. Spices except pie.
Right. The one thing where, yeah, all right. How about this? A quick break. Steve with the news, and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Well, he went down to dinner in his Sunday best. Excitable boy, they all said.
He's an excitable boy. He's David Hochberg, and he's on the air with us right now at 720 WGN. And how are you, David?
I'm fantastic. How are you? Happy holidays, everybody.
Happy holidays, David.
This is my last appearance of the year on your show.
For the year?
Yeah.
But oh, maybe and we have no celebration.
Yeah, I'm having one right now.
Lunch or something.
I'm getting all fired up.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, you're with Pearl Mortgage.
Yes.
No A. It's just P-E-R-L.
P-E-R-L.
And there are people that may have questions for you, so let's get the number out there, 312-981-7200. You can also text us at that number if you don't get through. Where is the number to reach you?
You can reach me 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 312-751-1333. And, of course, as you already mentioned, WGNDavid.com.
even though millennials get a reputation as being lazy, it's not true. Some of them are working. Some of them are buying houses. And I see the numbers are going up for them buying houses throughout the area.
Correct. I wouldn't call them lazy. I would just call them they have different priorities
yeah.
than other people. They're more that age group is more into experiences.
Right. Amen. Look at our own producer, Kevin. He has done a lot of world traveling, that's something that is I've never done. I never wanted to do it. It's not what we did. We saved our money. We wanted to buy a house.
I'm 50 on Christmas, so I am.
You're not already 50?
No, I look like I'm 60. Thanks for that. Appreciate it. It's really good. Nice. That's really good.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. That's really nice. You look like hell. You're not 50 yet? You look like crap. You can measure for a box after the show.
Oh,
so
no.
Thanks for that.
Can you finance that?
Yeah, I could find home equity line of credit. You could really do some good things. millennials are generally into experiences. At least that's what I've heard.
And
good for them. You know, they're not. Yeah, you know, spend a couple of years on a job, bounce around, take another job. I graduated college, get into a career, start working, start saving, buy a house, get married, get the first one out of the way, get divorced, then marry the one you really love, and then have kids and move on onto the suburbs. You know, that's a path I took. But
I think that eliminates the midlife crisis, if you want to know the truth, because you get to do these things that you're not resentful for that, I got married and had that kid and bought that house.
But you know, going back to Bill's, and I agree with you 100%, but going back to Bill's question, a lot of the millennials, at least according to this recent study, are buying homes because they're seeing that it's, why am I paying some landlord $3,000 for rent because the rents have skyrocketed?
Right.
And they start doing the math and they're realizing this is nuts.
Yeah.
I could buy a house for the same thing for less than what I'm paying for rent. So 40% of the home buyers last month were millennials, according to Ellie Mae, which is a huge jump. And that's great because now that whole segment is starting, and that's in Chicago. Okay, in other areas in Minneapolis was 44% of all the loans done. Philadelphia 43, St. Louis 42, Chicago 40.
Boy, that's a high number. Though.
That's a huge number.
Yeah.
Okay, that millennials are finally starting to get into the market.
Why is this Midwest based? Is this nationwide, or does this simply for some reason seem to play out bigger in the Midwest?
According to Ellie Mae, that did these numbers.
Ellie Mae Clampett.
Ellie Mae Clampett. Right. Such a putz. Yeah. Ellie Mae Clampett. Ellie Mae, the software company that mortgage companies use, and you're still a putz. You know, this is what they're reporting, that a larger percent of millennials in the Midwest are getting into the market.
Yeah.
It just happens to be that over 40% of the market in October was millennials. And you want to give me an Ellie Mae trivia question?
No.
What color?
No, I don't.
How short her cutoffs were? You want to go there?
No, there's no reason for that.
Okay, no.
All right.
But thanks for that. That was very nice.
So that's good news.
It's good news that they're getting into the market because home ownership is a good thing, especially now. What we have to do to qualify people, even though it is loosening up a little bit, the millennials are buying into investing their money into a new home. You could get into a home. Associated Bank has got a program right now that they'll give you 5% of the purchase price up to $417,000 loan amount. So it's basically up to $20,850 right now. Associated Bank will give people for free, and there's no strings attached. If you're buying in Cook County, DuPage, DeKalb, Kane, Lake Counties in Illinois, and Milwaukee, Kenosha, Racine Counties in Wisconsin. I've been running ads on this for the past 2 weeks. Terry Savage talked about it on the Wintrust Business Report with Steve last week. Yeah, it was last week, and we've been getting tons of calls for this.
And this is just first-time buyers?
No, it's not just first-time buyers. It's any buyer. But if you're a first-time buyer, you have to go through a counseling session. But for up to $21,000, guess what? $20,850, you go through counseling.
Yeah.
You know, there's no income restrictions. It within those counties, it has to be within a certain section in those counties.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to go into how to make the sausage here, but if you're buying in Cook County, we have to put your address into a certain website to see if it meets a certain geocode.
Yeah.
And if you buy within that geocode, you could qualify to receive up to $20,850 through the end of the year. And next year it's going up because the conforming loan limits have increased next year. So it'll be over $21,000 that qualified home buyers could get.
Explain the middle part to me about how it has to qualify within a certain geocode. I don't know what that
means. Yeah, Community Reinvestment Act, it's called the CRA. It stands for Community Reinvestment Act. Banks have to reinvest back into the community. It's basically lending guidelines, for lack of a better term. Okay, and Associated Bank wasn't putting enough money back, and they got, you know, slapped on the hands. So they have to put up all this money to invest back into those communities. So if you buy on the Gold Coast here, it's not it's not a underserved community.
Right.
So you're not going to get up to $20,850 to buy something in Streeterville or in the Gold Coast.
So it's a more disadvantaged, for the most part, it's a more disadvantaged area.
It could be. It might not be. I mean, it could be a certain street within Cook County that is underserviced or whatever. That's why we have to put it in. And so if it's Cook, DuPage, DeKalb, Kane, Lake Counties in Illinois, Milwaukee, Kenosha, Racine, and Wisconsin, you can get up to $20,850 through the end of the year, and over $21,000 next year. And that could go for closing costs. That could go for down payment. That could go to buy you out of private mortgage insurance that everybody hates. But there's more. It also includes refinancing. So if you're in a certain geocode area, you could use that money to buy yourself out of PMI, which is huge.
All right. Somebody's actually texting on the PMI private mortgage insurance. Why do I need mortgage insurance to refinance after making mortgage payments on three houses for 27 years?
Well, because you're either working with the wrong lender who doesn't know what the hell they're doing, number one, or your loan to value is not at 80% of your appraised value. So what does that mean? That means if your home is worth $100,000, your loan is not is above $80,000. I mean, that's the easiest way I could break it down. So if you still need PMI and you're under that 80%, then you're working with the shyster who's trying to take advantage of you and you know, give me a call and we'll take a look at it because it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
But to have PMI, it's when you're a little underwater on your house, so the mortgage company will be taken care of in case you default or whatever.
It's a higher risk loan because you don't have 20% equity into it. And then FHA loans have PMI on them. VA loans do not have PMI on them. So there's certain things that we need to be aware of and be careful of. And one other thing I just want to bring up real quick. You know, remember Fred Thompson with AAG, you know, walking down the fake street in Hollywood and how everything's going to be good. May you rest in peace. And now Tom Selleck has taken over for him.
Yeah.
They just got whacked for $400,000 for since January 2012, AAG advertisements misrepresented that consumers could not lose their home and that they would have the right to stay in their home for the rest of their lives, according to the CFPB, Consumer Finance Protection Bureau. They got smacked with a $400,000 fine. So while you see all of these high-priced spokespeople talking about a product they have no idea what they're talking about, okay, the people in the hot box call centers back on the West Coast are talking to them, and these seniors don't know what's doing them. We're doing more reverse mortgages today than we've ever done.
Really?
Because we don't lie to people.
Yeah.
Okay, these ads were misleading because you can lose your home.
They were saying you can't for the rest of your life. That seems
right
pretty unfair.
Consumers could not lose their home, that they would have the right to stay in their home for the rest of their lives. You still have to make your tax payment, real estate tax payment, and your insurance payment and keep the house up. If you don't make your real estate tax payment, you don't make your insurance payment, and you live in a dilapidated house and you don't keep it up, they have the right to basically, you know, call you out on that loan and get you out of the home. You know, you can lose the home if you don't make your real estate tax payments because somebody will buy the taxes from the county and pay the taxes and then you lose your home. So what their ads were doing were misleading, according to the CFPB, $400,000. Now that's like water off a duck's tuchus, all right, $400,000. It's nothing. It's ridiculous.
When is Hanukkah starting?
You know, put another zero on there and hit them for $40 million so they don't sit there and screw seniors out of money like this. $400,000 to AAG? Give me a break.
I'm hearing a lot of Yiddish
that's
going on.
It's like giving your cab driver an extra fin for taking you from here to the metro station.
You don't do it.
It's ridiculous.
Wendy.
You take advantage of seniors like that.
David
Hochberg, $400,000.
We'll be by with Christmas carols when we return. Stick around. Phil and Wendy.
Ridiculous.
David Hochberg is here, and he's just about to boil. The pot is just about to boil.
Oh, he's fine.
I'm fine.
You had mentioned
doing my Kegel exercises.
Is that helping? Yeah. I hope that's helping.
It's very good.
All right.
Yeah. You had mentioned a program where you can get up to almost $21,000 to help you. What is the name of that program?
It's called the HELP program offered by Associated Bank. Pearl Mortgage is one of the few lenders in the marketplace that offers that product. So if you would like more information, you could just go to WGNDavid.com. We're pre-qualifying people for free. And we have realtors in those areas that people are interested that could help you locate properties and see if it's in the proper geocode. That's what we call it.
and if it qualifies, for up to $20,850 this year and up to over $21,000 next year.
I have a text that confirms what you had said about millennials buying homes.
Uh-huh.
And this is some inspiration for millennials everywhere. Just a texter sharing with us. Just want to say yes, all caps, for millennials to look at buying. I just purchased a two-bedroom condo in Lombard, and my assessments, taxes, mortgage, and insurance adds up to $1,150 a month. I stare at apartments across from me that start at $1,400.
Yeah.
And you're not building any equity. My message to all millennials is start saving for a down payment and get going.
And what's happening because of the increase in the interest rates and because of the increase in the real estate taxes and the increase in the rent is that the lower priced condos that were sitting there in the suburbs
right.
are now going to start flying off the shelf because people are going to need a less expensive I don't like saying cheaper because it's not cheaper.
It's just less expensive
right now because the market has still pushed those properties to the side, but now that the rates have gone up a half a point
right.
and the real estate taxes are going up, those condos and these millennials are going to come in and snatch these condos up like crazy and
yeah.
get unbelievable values. And now is the time to do it before everybody else does, because once it goes, what happens? Supply and demand. Prices start going up, and then the people that get in early get a bigger bang for their buck and get a bigger return on their investment. So, kudos to that person, male or female, whoever, that bought out in the burbs. You know, it's smart. Plus, what the texter didn't account for was if the real estate tax deduction, the interest deduction as well, that goes into that when they file their taxes in a couple of months, they'll
yeah.
be able to write off the taxes. They'll be able to write off the insurance. If the income is below a certain level, they might be able to write off the private mortgage insurance as well if they have private mortgage insurance plus the building equity.
That's one of the biggest reasons if you're trying to figure out renting as opposed to owning. It's what you just said, the tax deductions. That's what really unbalances the whole thing, right?
And I'm not a CPA, and I'm not a tax preparer, and I always tell people, check with your tax preparer for the exact number that you're going to be able to get back, because
yeah.
what people do is forget that they're going to have a deduction and then don't go to their HR department, and then they get this huge refund. I'm not a big fan of that. I'd rather get the money during the month
right.
in your paycheck. So
yeah.
then talk to your tax preparer. Say, hey, you know, CPA guy or gal, I own a home. This is what I'm paying now. What should I go to my HR department and adjust my withholdings so I get more money back instead of getting a gigantic refund
right.
when you file your taxes?
That's better.
Get it back during the month so you can help you make your mortgage payment and enjoy the house or
yeah.
condo
yeah.
you know, while you're living there instead
yeah.
of getting this gigantic tax refund and giving the government a tax-free flipping loan.
Yes.
You know,
it's
nuts.
God, he's got a short fuse.
Willie Nelson does my taxes.
He does. He does a great job.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Come back with a little marijuana.
I don't know what it is. I don't ask questions.
That's fine.
Here's another question that was texted to us. I have some income from family members that live with me that I don't claim on my taxes. Can I use that income to qualify for a mortgage on a refi?
There are some lenders that will use border income. You know, will allow us to use border income, but typically we have to show that you've been collecting it, and if it's cash, it's tough to show. But if you have a steady, I always tell people, write checks if you're making rent payments, especially towards somebody, a private investor, okay, where you're not renting from a ABC corporation, right?
Yeah.
So just write the check. You've got a paper trail. If you're accepting rent, accept checks or direct deposit so we could show a track record of you receiving that. And there are lenders out there that will let us use what's called border income when we do their loan. Not all of them, but some of them.
All right. I have a short sale on my history. My lady has a part-time job and is going back to school and has student loans. Would I qualify for a loan and that associated bank grant?
It all depends when the short sale was, and if the short sale was included in the bankruptcy and when it was discharged. There's a bunch of rules that we have to follow, but if it fits in all the boxes and it flow charts out and it meets all the requirements and they buy within the county and a certain geo code within those counties, absolutely, you would qualify. And there's no income restrictions. So a lot of these, like, down payment assistance programs are only for low to moderate income folks. This is, you know, you could be making $300,000-$500,000 a year. That money's still available for you, by the way.
Good.
It's a great program. Yeah.
Very, very good.
We have a text signed, your friendly CPA, because you had
made some comments. Great.
Remind them that they are not considering maintenance and repairs that have to be conferred.
Oh, well, there's Debbie Downer. Of course, you don't have to consider. You know,
if you're a home buyer,
right.
as opposed to renting.
Right. Again, if you own a house, you have to fix up the house.
Right.
We always recommend that you have a 4 to 6 month reserve clause because if
Who
the air.
Who has that?
Well, some people, under this Associated Bank program, you
I
would.
See.
But, you know, if the air conditioner and the heater goes out, there's a $5,000 expense. Make sure that the roof is in good condition because that could be anywhere, as you know, very expensive to replace, Wendy. You know, but a patching could be $1,000. It could be $20,000 for a full replacement. It's very, very expensive. So, yes, Mr. and Mrs. CPA, thanks for bringing us down here. But you also get the value of appreciation and ownership and paying down. So when you're payment is going in, you're knocking off some principal.
Yeah. A new government takes over in January,
yes.
to the end of January. Other than just mortgage rates themselves, is there anything we should be alert to? What, is there any major change coming because of the new government coming in?
No, the gentleman, this guy Munchkin, and that's his name.
Munchkin. Yeah.
Who
represents the lollipop
guy. Who president-elect. Can I get through this, please?
Sorry.
President-elect Trump wants to be the Treasury Secretary. He's a smart guy.
Yeah.
Okay. He took Indy Bank, flipped it around, and made billions.
Yeah.
Okay. So this guy understands the mortgage market. Donald Trump understands real estate. Okay. He's a real estate developer. So that can only be positive for the marketplace. I know nothing of what's going to happen. Everybody says they do. You know, great, but I don't predict what's going to happen. All I know is that having two guys at, you know, one guy running the Treasury and one guy running the free world who has a real estate background understands that a spike in interest rate is not really good for the real estate market because it basically puts a cap on what people could afford.
Yeah.
That's the only thing going forward that I see as a positive. You know, if I had a crystal ball, and all due respect, I'd be in Florida on a boat making daiquiris instead of freezing my rear end off talking to you two. But that's a whole nother story. I don't know what's going to happen, but you know, I'd fly up on my G5 to talk to you, then get on and blow right
and
out
head
of town.
Back out.
Right. But I don't know what's going to happen. I don't think anybody does. I was kind of shocked with the half a point jump after the election, to be honest with you.
I'm
sitting there on my couch texting my guys, hey, this lunatic might actually win this election. And then I see the Dow futures down 500, 700, 800. I'm like, bond market is going to, you know, typically whenever the stock market falls off like that, the bond market, you know, rallies and it's better rates. I'm like, get your sheets ready. We're going to have a good push through the end of the year. Then we come in and then the rates went the other way for 2, 3, 4 weeks and they shot up a half a point. So who knows? Here, all I know is that if you need money, money's still cheap. If you want to buy a home, historically, money's still cheap. And if you're in debt, borrowing against your house is still the cheapest way to pay off the debt. And it's still good. And all we're doing is you putting people into loans. And then when they drop again, we'll just refinance everybody into lower rates. Like Wendy will attest to, we'll give you a call before you know what to do. And we'll drop you into a lower rate with no closing costs. So, you know, rates are what they are. I have no control of it. You don't have control over it. Nobody does.
But you
does.
Have the answers to the questions that we have about that.
Exactly. And if you've got a question about anything real estate related, you're going to get an honest opinion. And we're going to do what's best for you and not what's best for us. So
totally trust you, David. And it's funny because somebody texted us going, he's on another radio station. What is he doing? You know what? Whatever.
Yeah.
You are on our radio
Disney.
Station.
Yeah,
right?
Yes,
radio
he is.
Disney.
Yeah,
he refinanced
books.
Mickey's new place.
He did.
Yep.
I do children's stories.
We know that.
Bedtime.
I still trust you, David. He's David Hochberg. You can reach him how?
You could go to my website, WGNDavid.com. You could give me a call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 312-751-1333. There's a live body answering at all times, which I know you're going to come back with a smart aleck remark. It's better than a dead body answering the phone call, so I beat you
Who
to it.
Who would say that?
I don't
you
know.
Beat me to it, Wendy.
Yeah, some guy in a hat to the left of here. But happy holidays to everybody. Thank you for letting me share your studio and help your listeners during the past year.
Thanks, David. Great to see you. Thanks so much. That's David Hochberg from Pearl Mortgage. We'll take a quick break, then some news, then more show, and your chance to win James Taylor tickets. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Great job, Steve, as always.
To Steve Bertrand.
Well, thank you.
The
thank
richest
you.
Man in town.
What? I wish that were true.
I don't mean financially,
I've
obviously.
Got, I've got
rich in friendships.
Rich in friendships.
Sweaters.
Yep.
Did you see his ugly Christmas sweater yesterday?
I don't know that that was ugly.
Oops.
Well, it was sold as an ugly Christmas sweater.
Oh, okay,
sweater.
Good.
It was.
Yeah.
Because I realized after I said it, that was really rude of me.
Yeah.
No, it's okay.
All right. Why'd you wear it yesterday?
Well, I had the guys from Chicago Costume on, and part of their business now is they sell ugly sweaters at Christmas time.
That's genius.
Isn't it, though?
I know you can go to Goodwill. I know you can. There are many places online where you can order them. But yeah.
It's so American that we buy fake ugly Christmas sweaters.
Right.
Right. We go now to buy them as new rather than...
Well, you do. Bill and I don't.
A couple of years ago, we were holiday shopping, and I was...
No, I don't.
...in a store that sold all different kinds of sweaters, but some of them were really tacky. And one was like an advent calendar. I don't know. Would you have to wear it for 24 days and then each day take a square off of it? I don't know. But I said to my wife, who would buy that? No one would buy that. And then we were at a Christmas party less than a week later and somebody there had that sweater.
Did you tell the story?
No.
No.
Oh,
when did this whole ugly Christmas sweater thing start? I know it's kind of been around for a while, but they weren't joke sweaters
right.
when the first Christmas sweater came out.
Right.
People wore these and were proud of them.
Sure.
I'm going to go early 90s, late 80s.
That's when people realized, I'm not the only one noticing this, but a lot of the sweaters around me are really tacky and awful, right? That's when, around the 80s or 90s, right?
I'm going to think so.
Yeah.
Kevin, I have a feeling you're going to an ugly Christmas sweater party.
Oh, I used to have a few, but I feel like they became re-popular in like an ironic sense
right.
in the past 5 to 7 years.
Now right. people try to do it. In the old days, that just happened.
Once the people of your generation became old enough to make fun of their parents, that's when they
Well, actually, do you have any I could borrow, Steve?
Yeah, I do. I'll rent. But here's the difference, millennial slacker. I'll rent them to you.
I'll pay in a couple weeks.
It's called a job. Go get one.
Oh, no.
Why are millennials getting such a... Yeah,
we get a bad rap.
But
hey,
why?
It's true. No,
I don't know.
You work harder than a lot of the non-millennials that I know here.
And it's they're true. More environmentally conscious. They're more health conscious. They're more, you know, they eat better. It's true.
That is true.
So why is everybody calling them slackers?
Because we can.
But the young bucks, you know, and we're low on the totem pole.
We're jealous.
A little bit, yeah.
All right. Well, speaking of Christmas, every Christmas Eve is spent with my in-laws. Christmas Day, I go to my cousins. We're Italian, so there are a lot of people there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a special happy birthday I would like to say that I am so proud. This is my cousin's mother-in-law.
So still a relation of yours
not? By marriage only.
Through marriage, yeah.
But her name is Candy. Candy Schottisch is 102 years old
wow.
today.
That's
today.
Excellent.
So, Candy, happy 102nd birthday today. I hope to see you at Christmas. And I have an email from my cousin saying she listens all the time.
She's 102.
I know. And still doing well. I mean, she's 102.
Right.
But, I mean,
that's
she can
fantastic.
Hear. She can talk. She has a sense of humor. It's 102 is the new 80.
Bill's only got two of those three.
Right, if that.
But it blows me away. I wish this was related by blood and not just by marriage, because then it's like good genes.
Right, it would be good news for you. Imagine being an age where you could run a temperature the same age that you are. Very few of us have that. Not that that should be your goal when you're 102. You shouldn't try to run 102 fever. But I'm just saying that's one of those few ages where you could have both.
Those are your words of wisdom
yeah.
for Candy celebrating
yes.
her 102nd birthday today.
When I speak
today.
At retirement centers, I always close with that. I mention that to the people. And they don't seem thrilled with it. You'd think they'd be happy to hear that, but they're not.
Well,
that's an achievement.
It really is. And she listens to us.
Oh, that's even better. Thank
so
you,
I
Candy,
think Candy,
for doing that.
Schottisch might be our oldest listener. 102.
I would, yeah, if she's not, she's got to be in the top 10 for sure. Can anyone beat 102? Are you listening and you're over 102? That's
and can you dial the phone?
Well, yeah.
Call us.
But this lady you're describing, Candy, seems to have her faculties. She
Absolutely.
Could probably, she could dial it. That's
so happy
great.
Birthday, Candy. Bill, again, Bill's words of wisdom is...
You could run a fever that's your age if you wanted to. I don't know why you'd want to, but you could.
Candy, I don't know why you listen, but thank you for listening. Happy birthday.
All right. Speaking of birthdays, when we return, I will tell you about a birthday party gone very, very wrong, and it hasn't even happened yet. We'll explain more next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. What's more exciting than finding out that you've been invited to a birthday party? Isn't that fun? You get to go to a birthday party. There'll be cake and ice cream, maybe pin the tail on the donkey. That's a good time.
Jingity jing.
Jingity jing. Listen to this story.
Yeah,
Wendy.
Yeah.
This is from Mexico. They are our neighbors to the south for now. An invitation to a girl's 15th birthday party in Mexico has gone viral, and now 1.2 million people say that they will attend.
Well, that's a problem.
Right. A lot of times at a birthday party, you cap it off 15, 20, 30, but so far, this invitation so far has gotten 1.2 million people RSVPing saying, yeah, they want to come to the party. Ruby Abera Garcia and her parents uploaded a video to Facebook inviting friends and family to the party. But as the post was made public, it soon went viral. The video shows Crescencio Abera, that's Garcia's father, saying the words, "Everyone is welcome." He then lists...
He shouldn't be saying that.
Well, you don't expect it to go viral. You expect family and friends will see it.
I guess.
So that's what you're hoping. In the video, he lists the bands that will play at the event and then announces that a horse race will also take place at the party.
How old is she?
15.
That's a great birthday.
A horse race and bands?
What are they going to do for Sweet 16? This is setting the bar pretty high.
I know. You got to top this next year. Mr. Ibarra, who needs to be said hi, has confirmed that he will not be turning anyone away from the party and that the police are set to be deployed in the town of La Jolla in Mexico to ensure everybody's safety. That's according to the BBC. The video so far has been shared over 800,000 times.
Jeez.
And imitations and memes have been created. Aneldo Garcia, Ruby's mother, said her favorite meme featured the president-elect of the United States.
I'm laughing that the mom knows what a meme is.
You know, every time I see it, I go, wait, what is that? Oh, I know what that is. All right.
It's just a goofy picture, right? With the saying?
Sometimes it's a little video, a little scene that keeps recycling.
But what, Kevin, define what a meme is, because it can be all of the above, I believe. A weird, wacky picture.
A meme is usually just like a photo, and a lot of times it'll have like script on it.
But isn't it like sometimes it'll be a little video sequence, 2 or 3 seconds, and it just keeps recycling over and over?
That would be a GIF.
Oh, is that a GIF?
Or a GIF, I'm not sure.
I think I'm going to go with GIF.
A GIF, GIF?
It started as GIF, and then it became GIF.
Yeah. Oh. It's an endless argument.
Right. Choosy mothers, choose GIF.
Or GIF. Mothers that don't queer
a jelly and
GIF
sandwich is bad.
Oh, that's never good. It's the one about Donald Trump. Yeah, I'm all right. I'm excited about the party.
You should be.
I'm going.
It's going to be quite the networking event.
There's going to
be
horse racing. It's the one. This is the meme, or do you say meme? it's got Donald Trump and Enrique Nieto coming to an agreement to allow undocumented Mexican migrants in the U.S. to return to Mexico just to attend Ruby's party. That's funny. So somehow they've gotten video footage of the two of them talking, and they've inserted words to the effect of Donald Trump agreeing. He's fine with U.S. people going to Mexico to attend the party. The girl's 15th birthday is seen as when she comes of age in Mexico, and large parties to commemorate the event are not unusual. So in America, it's a sweet 16, but I guess in Mexico, it's the 15th birthday.
Right, I've been informed that I'm a dummy.
And this story doesn't say it, but last night when I saw this story online, there's a word for this in Spanish, a girl's 15th birthday. I don't know what the word is. It's
quinceañera.
Yeah. Quinceañera.
I was trying to read this text because everybody said that's the equivalent of a sweet 16 here. In Mexico, the girls celebrate their 15th birthday. And pronounce it again, Steve.
Quinceañera. Well, quince means 15, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't it? Yeah.
Yes. Sorry, Steve?
Niera is the year.
Niera is
a
party celebrating the particular year. Oh. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh.
All right,
so
well, that's
why.
It. It's not just in Mexico. It's the Mexican culture.
Oh, okay.
That's why the horse racing.
Ruby, what if you had said to your mom, hey, I got a birthday coming up. You think we could have some horse racing at the party? How quickly would that be voted down?
I never had that. My sweet 16, I was never kissed by 16. Well, okay. I didn't have a really big party for my sweet 16.
I would have lost all my money on that. If Las Vegas had action on your action, I would have lost all my money.
What are you, a sophomore? Oh, yeah.
Yes.
All right, so never mind. So I didn't get a Sweet 16 party.
Miscarriage of justice, in my opinion. Ruby is extremely, that's the girl whose birthday it is, her 15th birthday. Ruby is extremely excited and looking forward to this day, Ruby's older sister reportedly said, it says in the story.
The jealous older sister?
Yeah, the jealous older sister. She didn't have 1.2 million people coming to her quinceañero.
Kevin, you wanted to say something?
I kind of related, not as extreme, but in college I had a party kind of go viral to the point where the cops showed up at the door with our Facebook invitation printed out.
Seriously?
Yes.
So when you posted this on Facebook, what exactly did you say? Just the
underage drinkers, right. Attention.
No, it wasn't. It's everybody. We ID'd at the door. We had ID'd everybody that we could. But yeah, we didn't make it private. So it kind of just like, just how parties happen. One person knows and then they tell another and so on and so on. And so it was an open invite on Facebook and then the cops printed it out and had our address and everything.
That's
and showed
really
up
funny.
And gave us a big old ticket.
You didn't let them into the party? They brought the invitation.
It was pretty obvious. Yeah. They just let themselves in.
You know, if I could just give a tip to people out there, and I've seen this a lot on Facebook where, hey, give me a call, and they leave their phone number on Facebook.
Don't do that. Not good.
I mean, really, if I could say anything to help, just say, you know, private message me, PM, that's what that means.
Right.
Well,
private message.
So many people put like a phone number, like, hey, when are you going to be in town? Here's my number. Give me a call when you do. Don't do that.
Right. That cannot. That that's
it's
not
never
going to
be
well.
Good.
No, why would you give that information out on Facebook, where anyone could see it?
Yeah, you shouldn't do it, David. We only have a minute here. You had a party go viral as well.
I did, but it was before the internet, so it's cool. Don't
oh
worry.
Well, how'd you make it happen before the internet?
I had flyers and I invited 50 people, and the band went and made flyers and kind of doctored it. And they invited like 1,000 people.
Oh, no.
Because they wanted people to come see them.
Yeah, I mean, I lived on a cul-de-sac. I was renting a room. I was my bachelor's degree in college, Cal State Northridge. And there were thousands of people. They were like blocking the whole subdivision. And a police helicopter came overhead. People were on the roof. And the cops came, about 20 of them. And they asked me to break down the party. I was singing with the band at the time. Imagine that. And I said, you've got to help me. And they said, if we help, there might be a riot. Amazingly, with the help of about 20 people, everyone left. But there was beer cans and refuse for blocks that we ended up cleaning up all night. We had about 50 to 100 hefty bags of garbage in front of the house.
Jeez, was it worth it?
It was. And my landlady, wonderful Filipina gal named Socorro, she came out about halfway through. I figured I was thrown out. I was done. And she brought out finger sandwiches for the cleanup crew. How cool was that?
That's very nice
of
her.
What a great landlord.
Did you tell her it was your quinceañero?
I lied. I was a little bit older than that. But the great upside to this, I was living with this Filipino family for my last year of college, and I ended up meeting a wonderful Filipina and marrying her. So. But I immersed the culture.
Well,
that worked nice. That worked out really nice. Thank you so much. Appreciate it, David.
Happy holidays. We appreciate it. Quick break. Your chance for James Taylor tickets coming up.
Just yesterday morning, they let me know you were gone. Suzanne, the plans they made put an end to you.
That's some pretty music right there, Wendy.
I want to make fun of him, but I can't.
You can't. You better not make fun of James Taylor.
Sweet Baby James, I am not going to
make fun of Sweet Baby James. Great singer and a great barbecue sauce. We have tickets to give away to his show. He has seen fire and rain, not at the same time, because that would be steam.
Sweet dreams and flying machines.
Yeah.
All right. Turn
your head around.
I'm telling you.
Like
just
The Exorcist.
You have to ruin everything.
Sorry.
James Taylor is coming to Wrigley Field. James Taylor and his all-star band. I don't know who's in his band. We have to find that out. Regardless, they're there to see
Ringo, I think.
Ringo?
I thought so.
He's in all the all-star. I don't know, but he's in every all-star band.
He has
band.
His own all-star
yeah.
band.
Yeah.
All right. James Taylor, special guest Bonnie Raitt. She's awesome.
She is good.
She really is. She can play slide guitar like anything.
Yeah.
They are both getting together July 17th at Wrigley Field. Tickets are on sale now at Cubs.com/James Taylor. But, Bill.
Yes.
We actually have a pair of tickets to give away to this star-studded event at Wrigley Field.
Isn't that nice?
It's July 17th, so you've got to plan ahead. I don't like things hanging over my head, but...
This is down the road a piece, but yeah, you look forward to this for several months.
What, are you sitting on the porch with the Bartles and James guys? It's down the road a piece?
That's what we say in the country, yeah.
Wow. All right, how do we want to do this? Have you gotten together one of your fun Friday games that we're doing on a Thursday?
I have a game. You help me with the title. I love the title, Taylor Made, because these are James Taylor tickets, so it's a game called Taylor Made. Here's what we're going to do. Kevin, yeah, I have to have you clear the phone lines. I don't want to do this, but we have to because everybody needs to have a fair shot at this. So clear the phone lines, and then in a moment, 312-981-7200. You call that number. We will take a quick break, and then we will select two of you to participate in this game, TaylorMade. Somebody's going away with James Taylor tickets.
Do I say the number of callers we're looking for now?
No,
or no?
I don't say yet because then people will try to time it.
Only people like you, Bill.
Boy, if you could figure that out.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll come back and your shot at winning James Taylor tickets, 312-981-7200. I have the number callers in my head.
Oh, good.
We'll reveal them. Fair chance and your chance to win James Taylor tickets with Bonnie Raitt coming up next, 720 WGN.
There is a young cowboy. He lives on the range. His horse and his cattle are his only companion.
This is his song about a young cowboy.
He works in the saddle.
I have something in common with James Taylor, Wendy.
What is that?
We were both married to Carly Simon.
All right. Bill has lost his mind. 312-981-7200. Do you remember that album cover? She must have been chilly.
Yeah.
In the blue shirt?
Yes.
I know, I'm a girl, but women can recognize beauty as well.
I think you
could. On other women.
Yes.
All right, since today is 12/18, why don't we go with the 8th caller and the 12th caller at 312-981-7200.
Let's do that. All right?
So
just pick them up, pick up caller number 8 and pick up caller 12, and we'll find out who they are and we'll square them off against each other.
All right. Oh, he's actually counting.
Oh, Kevin, you don't have to do that.
Well, you said clear the lines.
All right. No, but that was already done. He cleared them.
All right. Well, he's taken the 8th caller and the 12th caller. Look at how good Kevin is. He works so
hard. Very efficient.
See, Bertrand says millennials don't work hard.
Right.
You crazy.
Kevin is an exception to that rule.
All right. Let's meet our first contestant, Bill, for tickets to see James Taylor and Bonnie Raitt. David, how are you today?
Fabulous.
David, all we know about you is that you're from Mount Prospect. Tell us one other thing so that people at home can either root for you or hope that you lose.
I drive a Ford.
Oh, a Ford driver. Gotta like that. All right, good.
All right, well, that's good to know. David from Mount Prospect, you're going for a pair of tickets to see James Taylor. Are you free on July 17th?
I will be.
Excellent.
Good answer. All right, I almost just hung up on you.
Oh.
So hang on. Not intentionally. It would have been an accident. There we go. Lock the phone. And let's meet your contestant, who is this guy, Bob. Hi, Bob.
How you doing?
Bob, where are you from?
I'm from Hersher, Illinois.
Is that a real place?
Yeah, it's halfway between Dwight and Kankakee.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I know where Hersher is. And give us a little fun fact about you. What should we know about you, Bob?
I'm a wildlife biologist for the state.
Yeah.
And a wildland firefighter.
Wow.
Look at that.
Very impressive. All right, good.
Just going by what you do, David, I got to be honest with you, Bob's fast fact about himself is a little more exciting, but we'll see who gets the tickets. David, Bob, Bob, David.
Hey, Bob. David. Good luck.
They both seem very cordial. Guys, I will explain the rules to TaylorMade. Keep in mind the winner, whoever has the most points at the end of this, will see James Taylor. The loser has to leave town. Can't stay here anymore. There are 10 questions in TaylorMade. The first one's worth 100 points. Second one is worth 200 points, all the way down to 1,000 points. I will say the question. You need to buzz in by saying your names, either David or Bob. Whoever goes first will get first crack at the question. You don't lose points for guessing wrong, so if you think you know it, give it a shot. Why not? All right. Any questions, David or Bob? Anything you need to know before we get started?
No, I'm ready.
All right, good. Very good. All the questions have something to do with the name Taylor. Doesn't mean that the answer will be Taylor, but they all are tailor-made, just like the game implies. Question one is worth 100 points. You ready, David and Bob?
Yes.
Here goes for 100 points. Taylor Hicks was the silver-haired champion of season 5 of this once popular but now defunct TV talent show.
David? American Idol.
Is correct. David, you lead with 100-0. Question two is worth 200 points. Here goes. Actress Elizabeth Taylor played the title role in this 1963 epic at the time.
Bob? Cleopatra.
Is absolutely right. Bob, you have piggybanked David, and you are in first place with 200 points to his 100. Question three, 300 points. Here goes. On September 13th, 2009, this show business head case interrupted Taylor Swift's MTV Video Music Awards speech because he didn't feel she deserved it.
Bob?
Kanye West.
Is absolutely right, Bob. You lead 500 to David's 100. David, if you get this one right, the score will be tied. Bob, if you get it right, you'll have a commanding lead. Question four, worth 400 points. Andy Taylor played guitar. John Taylor played bass guitar. Roger Taylor played drums for this 80s supergroup who needs to eat something.
Bob?
The Who.
The Who is incorrect. The Who is incorrect. I will finish the rest of the question for you, David. Like I said, if you get it right, you'll be tied. Andy Taylor played guitar. John Taylor played bass guitar. Roger Taylor played drums for this 80s supergroup who really needs to eat something because they are hungry like the wolf.
Hungry like wolf. It's two words. Help me out.
Who are you talking to, David?
We are not allowed to help you. Bob is your challenger, so I know he won't help you, and Wendy and I are bound by law to not help you. 3, 2, 1. Oh, Wendy, the right answer, was what?
Duran Duran.
All right. Right now, Bob, you have 500. David, you have 100. This is the fifth question. It's worth 500 points. Here goes. 1960s leading man Rod Taylor starred in H.G. Wells' Time Machine in 1960, Walt Disney's animated 101 Dalmatians in 1961, and this Alfred Hitchcock classic in 1963.
David? To Kill a Mockingbird.
It is not To Kill a Mockingbird. Bob, you heard the entire question. Do you need me to repeat it, or do you want to give it a shot?
No, I can picture it, but The Birds.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
The Birds is correct.
You stumped me on
David,
that one.
David, you were close with To Kill a Mockingbird. You had part of it in there, but it is The Birds. Very, very close. 1,000 for you, Bob. David, only 100. This would be a good time to get the motor running, as we say in the music business. For 600 points. For 600 points. Andy Griffith played Sheriff Andy Taylor in the fictional town of Mayberry in this non-fictional state.
Bob? North Carolina.
North Carolina is correct. Bob, you have
60. Button.
Oh, that's right. That's
How
the
did
right
you
answer.
Know that? That's very good.
That's the right answer. 1,600 for you, Bob. David, still at 100. David, this would be a good time to jump in. Ready? 700 for question seven. Here goes. Damn you. If you don't know the name of this actor who played astronaut George Taylor in Planet of the Apes.
Bob.
David. Bob was first.
Charlton Heston.
Charlton Heston is right. 2,300 to 100.
God, David, try out your buzzer, man. I don't think it's working.
I don't think so.
Try it out.
David.
Yeah, it works. It works. All right, question eight, 800 points. Actress Christine Taylor played Marcia Brady in the Brady Bunch movies, then went on to marry this Hollywood writer, producer, leading man.
Bob? Jerry Stiller.
It is not Jerry Stiller. It is not Jerry Stiller. David, do you want to steal this one?
Ben Stiller.
Ben Stiller is correct.
Oh, my God.
Now
Bob,
we've
you
got
just
a game.
Gave it to him.
Now we've got a game.
You're welcome, David.
Wow. Christmas came early. Christmas came very early. 2,300 for you, Bob. 900 for you, David. Here's how it plays out. David, should you get both of these correct, you will be our winner. You need to win questions 9 and 10. Bob, if you get either of them, you will be our winner. Question 9 is worth 900 points. This 1920s basketball star helped Converse redesign their all-star basketball shoes.
Bob. Chuck Taylor.
Chuck Taylor, absolutely right. That gives you 3,200 to 900. There's one question left. I'll do it really quickly just for fun. Within three positions, which number president was Zachary Taylor?
Bob.
Bob.
8.
He was not 8.
David, you have a chance to steal.
5.
5 is also incorrect. He was the 12th president of the United States, so he would have accepted 9 through 15. That means at the end of 10 rounds, Bob with 3,200 points to David's 900, you're our winner. You're going to see
James Taylor and his all-star band with special guest Bonnie Raitt, July 17th. Keep that date open. It's happening at Wrigley Field. The rest of you, tickets on sale now at Cubs.com/James Taylor. And I'll tell you what, David, how would you like a gift?
A picture of Rip Taylor. You want that?
Autographed or not?
Not autographed.
Yeah.
No budget.
David, we'll set you up with a gift certificate from Eli's Cheesecake. How's that?
Wonderful. I appreciate that.
Guys, thanks for playing. Well done. Stay on the line, and we'll get all your particulars. Kevin will talk to you, okay?
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you very much. Oh, very nice.
Oh, you're so sweet. A gift certificate from Eli's Cheesecake for the handmade desserts you love. Ship a mail order by 11 a.m. on December 22nd for Christmas and Hanukkah delivery. Shop EliCheesecake.com or call 800-ELI-CAKE. You are so good at this.
Oh, thank you very much. It's
fun to
do.
Why aren't you hosting a game show?
I don't know.
What does Craig Ferguson have on you?
I don't know.
Ugly suits.
You've got shinier suits. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll find out what Roe and Anna have coming up in just a little bit. It's Bill Leff, and it's Wendy Snyder on WGN.